The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's damp, it's drizzly, it's generally dismal outside here in Foxborough, but there's genuine cause for football fans to be optimistic on this Thursday.
So who better to host the show on a day like that?
Exactly. But there is, like I was saying, genuine cause for optimism among football fans, given what's going on not too far from where we're broadcasting in another remote, undisclosed location. We're going to talk about that and plenty of other things, God knows what, but whatever comes up, we'll talk about here on PFW in Progress. No Fred Kirsch today. He's out fighting crime somewhere across America, so you're left with me, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Kevin the Monkey behind the glass. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours talking about all kinds of things. If these two morons would stop being addicted to their new iPhones and paying attention to the show, hello.
Well, usually you go on some long-winded open that, you know, ties us into
that's
Shakespeare.
That's actually why I took up the phone.
Civil War.
Well,
so.
We do have breaking. We do have some breaking news, too.
My iPhone?
Andy, yes. Not the fact that we have iPhones, which is kind of news, but the fact that Andy broke his on the first day that we got them. Nice job, idiot.
That's even less breaking news than anything else. We already ripped them for that all day on Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
I wasn't here.
I wasn't here either.
Typical.
No,
of you.
I know, but
no, rip me to my face.
But
right back.
Exactly.
The worst, typical.
The
of
worst.
Bullies.
Typical. The worst part, though.
Fat and fatter.
That Fred's not here.
It was Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday. Fred was killing you. That was funny. Fred was killing you on Tuesday.
We gotta tell you, though, the iPhone.
I love it.
Really is all it's cracked up to be. Unlike that bell they try to promote down there in Philly.
It is legit.
It is. I like it a lot. We do have legitimate breaking news, though. You know,
no, we don't.
About 12 hours later.
Okay.
It's now a developing story, but locally, mob boss James Whitey Bulger, who's been wanted for over a decade or more. It's got to be.
16 and a half years.
Arrested in California.
I mean, when news breaks, we break it.
We tell you after someone else breaks.
That's right. Exactly. So that's kind of bizarre. After all this time, he winds up in a high-rise in California. The last place
like
in the world,
Santa
I would have thought.
Kind of looks like Paul.
Whitey?
A little, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's got the big...
And, of course, the guy from Moving Foreign
though.
Motors.
Well, he's 81
George
years,
Martel.
He's 81 years old now.
Right. So
he's
Paul.
Right.
He's like double the age of Paul.
Soderling just completed a comeback.
No one gives
two
a rat's
sets
ass.
Down. I'm sorry. I thought people like sports.
They do.
And particularly football, which is what this show is mostly about.
Occasionally baseball and hockey. But
We do have some football news. If you believe any of the reports that are coming out of various organizations, most notably ESPN and Chris Mortensen, who was on this from the beginning, that there are there's a framework of an agreement being talked about between the owners and the players.
Is there something new came out today?
No, just in the last day or so.
Well, the talks were
successful
yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
so
very fruitful, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
they
fruitful
met,
was the quote.
When you guys were on the air Tuesday, there were talks going on just between the owners.
Right, so there is
in
new
Chicago.
News.
Thanks to my iPhone, I can tell that. You that the source said we're headed in the right direction. There is a desire on both sides to reach an agreement sooner rather than later. And talks were, where's that other quote? We're eager to accelerate the pace of negotiations, right. Jeff Pasch said. And at some point it said that basically they were going to negotiate till it was done.
So between Tuesday's show and today, the players, a few of the players and Demaurice Smith and the select group of owners have gotten together somewhere in the Boston vicinity. We don't know exactly where.
It's at my house, you know.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, there's so much land there, you probably didn't notice any of the,
I parked the limos
private
in the back.
Planes
yeah.
and stuff coming in. But they've been talking face to face again there, and there, like I said, there's a framework of an agreement that has sort of been reported by a couple of sources, that it seems like they're that they're reviewing
now.
Now.
Is that the same framework of the agreement that had come out on Tuesday that the owners talked about, or is there any differences? Do we know?
I don't know. I would imagine that there are probably some minor amendments.
It's very similar, though. It's
but
the
I would
same
think
basic
it's
stuff.
I would think it's basically
48%
the same type of thing, right?
They're still negotiating the rookie wage scale.
Mm-hmm.
18 game schedule is simply going to be a something that's kind of put off down. Mm-hmm. They can talk about it later.
Right.
They'll both agree to talk about it later.
Right.
The credit is gone. $1 billion off the top is gone and replaced by the 48% figure.
Right. 48% of all revenue.
All revenue.
Which before it was the, you know, after the $1 billion was taken.
And then the issue that sounds like it could be the biggest issue for internally between the owners is that the salary cap floor is going to be really close to the ceiling. It's going to be a small room.
Yeah, not yet. It's so, not 90%.
Well, it's going to be more than
that
now.
Like that.
Now it's 90%. It sounds.
It sounds like it's going to bump up a little bit more.
Basically, it says you're going to have a payroll of this much money.
Right, which is going to force the smaller market teams who don't like to spend money
right.
to spend money, right. which they might not be.
Well, and it's
inclined to do.
It's the cash too. It's all because most of those teams last year is an abnormality because of the differences in the rules and all that, but. For the most part, teams spent to the cap. All teams spent close to the cap, but it's the cash that teams are going to have to, according to what Chris Mortensen wrote on Tuesday. Now, these lower market teams, the lower revenue teams, are going to have to cough up more cash to the cap, and I'm not sure that's going to work.
Right. Part of the details that came out the other day. I don't know if you guys mentioned this, Paul, on Tuesday, but one of the points. In the proposal was that the Thursday night TV package would be all 16 games. You guys addressed that on Tuesday.
Yeah, actually, I think Strippers wrote in during the show and gave us some of those bullet points that Mortensen came out with. Yeah,
what do you think of that? I mean, I
love it. I love it, and I think that they need to get it off of NFL Network so they can make more money. I think that's a home run.
So NFL Network wouldn't be part of the. Equation.
No, well,
there's two different proposals now that people are talking about. One is saying that the NFL needs to get all 16 games they're going to bid out to somebody, and they think they could make in excess of $1 billion on that Thursday night package. Another is saying that, well, even if they make half of that, to split that up and have half those games on NFL Network and half on a say ABC right now, which doesn't really have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the old days? Didn't it start on TNT and then go to something else halfway through?
ESPN and TNT.
ESPN and TNT would
but
split.
I got to think, you bring up TNT, Andy. I think Turner would be a heavy hitter in that.
They want to be a player again?
Yeah, drive up the price on that. You know, look at all that they did with the NCAA basketball tournament. They really embraced that and spent money to get more games on their network. It looks like... From a sports perspective, they have Major League Baseball playoffs. Mm-hmm. They have NBA playoffs. From a sports perspective, I think that Turner wants to be a major player. And what better way to be a major player than to get an NFL deal?
What do you guys think about NBC/Versus? I know they just ponied up a lot of money to keep the Olympics. Do you think they would? Well, I mean, they already have the Sunday night stuff.
They could add Thursday.
You think they could add Thursday
to bring a legitimacy to that network?
Because ESPN was doing that when they had Monday Night Football and Thursday night. They would have the 2 days a week where they were doing games. I'm just wondering if maybe
could be,
but I don't know if they have enough money now, given all that they did trying to get the Olympics.
That whole Comcast, NBC,
ESPN
Universal.
had Monday night and Thursday night at the same time.
Well, they had didn't they have?
I don't think so.
Weren't there a couple?
That was
of,
a while ago that they had the old package, and right. then they got Monday night.
Yeah, I'm not sure they had it at the same time. I think I thought ABC there were times... had Monday Night Football, and then they would have special Thursday night editions.
Well, that's when I'm. That's
but
when
that
I'm,
wasn't a package of Thursday night games. That was like a random Thursday night game.
And it was on ABC.
Yeah, and it was.
But
ABC.
That's the same family of networks.
But not
so...
not when they did this. It wasn't when they had when they had ABC
ago.
Games. When ABC had Monday Night Football, it wasn't ESPN.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't the same thing.
Oh, see, I thought I remember that there would be weeks where the Monday night the there would be a Thursday night game and the same crew would have to do a Monday night game the following week
on ABC, not ESPN.
Oh, okay.
And again, that wasn't a package of Thursday night games. It was a random night game.
Okay.
They used to actually call it ABC Monday Night Football Special Thursday Night Edition.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But I don't know.
But there are
just
a lot
idea,
of different.
The idea came to me because of that.
No, and the idea that you had is not that's not a foolish one. I mean, I think that, like Andy said, you could really bump up the legitimacy of Versus.
Oh, yeah.
If NBC decided, listen, we're going to throw it all. Look at the money they just spent on the Olympics.
Well, that and just the success they had with the Stanley Cup. I mean, it was a seven game series, and two of the games were on Versus. At forcing people to, I mean, at least get to know that that's, I mean, I know they're going to change the name supposedly. Aren't they going to make it more like NBC, put an NBC in the name?
My guess it'll be
whatever,
an NBC something. But
but if they really want to be a competitor along the lines of ABC,
but you throw that
ESPN,
kind of money out there and you put some games on there, and it'd be interesting to see what happened. But I think that whatever they end up deciding to do in terms of where they go with it, it's a home run for the NFL to say, putting those games on our own network.
Mm-hmm.
Is not maximizing our revenue stream, and I think that's absolutely a home run. And it could be something that could be done as quickly as 2012. It doesn't have to wait till the other networks, proposals or the contracts are up, like a lot of people were reporting. That's not the case.
Right. But quickly, before I forget, the ACE Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com.
You can contact us any way you want, Ace.
Exactly. And that's funny you say that, because I have an update involving that person. You can also, if you're on Facebook, you can join the PFW in Progress group page, and you can either post a message on there or use the live chat feature. Kevin is obsessed with that page, almost to a point where we need to get him some professional treatment.
Privileges.
Yeah.
I'm on email right now.
Well, okay. That's better.
It's business email.
Yeah. So get in touch with us any of those three ways, if you so choose. Strippers writes in with a fresh tweet, retweeting the Mort Report, citing, as our Sal Palantonio.
Okay, Ace.
Ace reports, NFLPA Executive Director D. Smith about to have conference call with player reps to brief on status of talks.
Okay. Yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming out, and really after sort of a roller coaster spring, I think most people felt that games wouldn't be sacrificed. I think there was a lot of hyperbole getting thrown out on both ends. You know, it's going to end within the day. They're going to lose games into September. You know, what was it? The Chris Collinsworth one. I'm going to coach a high school football team because they're not going to play. I think there was a lot of hyperbole both ways. I don't think most people felt that the regular season games were going to wind up being in jeopardy. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Right.
It looks like they're going to be back. Training camp actually looks like it's going to be reasonably normal, maybe push back a little bit.
Reasonably
normal.
Maybe condensed.
And there was something that Mike Florio wrote on Pro Football Talk yesterday that I think is, you know, him being a lawyer and having that legal background, I think gives him a big-time advantage in these things. Even after they agree, there's going to be a period of time where you're not going to be able to just lift the lock.
No.
There's a lot of I's dotting and T's crossing that is going to need to be done.
Right.
They're going to have to get all those suits that are pending now are going to have to be eliminated. They're going to probably have to go to these judges and get expedited hearings and whatnot and get them briefed on what all the stuff. Even if you get an agreement, it's going to take a little while before the lockout is going to end and business is going to take place as normal.
Right. The courts are still going to be involved to some extent.
Yes.
Probably not as much as they would have been, but they will still be involved.
You can't
which means,
just say, oh, never mind.
Right.
We
snap your fingers.
Care of it.
It's all over. Right. Yeah. Forget about all those briefs we filed. Forget about all those requests we made. No. That's, you're right, Paul.
Well, not me. It was just going off of what Florio posted there.
No, right. But I'm saying the point you were just making. The dates or the, you know, the time frame that I keep seeing in stories over the last couple of days is anywhere from the 8th to the 15th of July for business, NFL business actually being resumed if an agreement were reached
right now.
So think of that as whenever you hear that an agreement has been reached, add about 2 or 3 weeks to that, and that's probably when
just the Florio
we'll
post
get back to
as
business.
An example said that if the deal were made by June 30th, if they agreed on the new CBA, players and owners, and it was all set, that would probably push back the start of training camps.
Yes.
So that just shows you how much time is going to need to be once, you know, post agreement, how much time it still takes.
Right.
But anyway, it looks like it's heading in the right direction.
Right. So we'll keep our eyes on that. We have our Twitter feeds open. We've got the internet here. We've got people like strippers out there keeping their eyes glued on
things.
Yeah,
and we know our listeners are going to keep
us on our toes even though Andy's still not paying attention over there.
Andy doesn't want to play.
He doesn't want to talk. Are you okay? Are you feeling all right?
I talked to the beginning.
Oh, you talked at the beginning, so you're done now?
No, I have no interest.
I have no interest.
Suddenly he gets paid by the word.
Okay,
no,
so
I just have no idea. In my mind, there's no doubt it's over. It's just when. And training camp will be fine and the season will be fine. So now we move on to real stuff.
Okay.
I don't need to care about the I's and T's.
All right, well, let's talk about some fun stuff.
I do like T-I-T.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
yesterday, we gathered in Paul's office. We came up with a little, sort of a fun little list and debate. You want to sort
which
of...
Which Paul sucked the fun out of, as he is wont to do, Eric.
That's
wont
with an O.
What did I suck the fun out of?
The little list we came up with yesterday. And we posted
fancy.
On Patriots.com.
How did I suck the fun out of it?
It's what you are, Eric, want to do.
That's one with an O. So let's bring the listeners up to speed on that, Andy.
We've been unveiling, what's supposed to be a slideshow, but because, we're Patriots.com and you can't do slideshows on Patriots.com because, God forbid, you do slideshows on Patriots.com.
No, certain people get kickbacks if we had to upgrade
right.
the system.
But anyway, we have been unveiling these. We started with the Great Expectations one last week where we did photos of guys that we thought there were going to be high expectations where they need to contribute this year or at least maintain their level. This week we looked at jersey numbers and we did it, I think, a little differently. I've never really seen this done anywhere else before. Generally, it's who's the best guy to wear number 12? Who's the best guy to wear number 40?
Right. And it's all inclusive to the, right. to the league and all time.
We went with what's the best jersey number, meaning the actual jersey.
Mm-hmm.
How many times that's been good. You know, for number 12 in New England, that's basically just Tom Brady.
Right.
But other jersey numbers, 33, for example, made our list with Kevin Falk and Tony Collins.
And Sam Gash.
And Sam Gash. 85 with Julius Adams and Nick Bonacani and Aaron Hernandez and Marv Cook. So we tried to rank the greatest truly jersey numbers in Patriots history. Came up with a top 10, which is, again, sort of a slideshow, even though it's not, because we can't do that on Patriots.com. God forbid we have a slideshow. And it's available
now.
I
liked it now. Better when he wasn't talking.
And also on the PFW blog, you can go comment on it, because you can't comment it on Patriots.com.
No, because God forbid we do
God
that.
God forbid you be able to comment on a slideshow that isn't really a slideshow on Patriots.com.
When Fred's gone, it really is anything but Patriots.com for you.
No. It's the same way when he's here. He knows when there are sucky parts to our website, and he admits it.
Oh, John Rook,
sucky.
But I'd be interested if people would head on over to the blog or to Patriots.com, check in with the list, see if you agree, disagree. The great debate we had, not the great debate, but the debate we had time in Paul's office was the value of one great player like Tom Brady or John Hanna versus the value of
the collective value,
decades worth of at least good players.
Yes.
You know, Kevin Falk's not a Pro Bowler. He's not going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but been a very good player. Tony Collins was a very good player.
It was the proverbial quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Which one did you choose?
But not just quantity. I mean, had to be some quality in the quantity.
No, sucky. I don't mean just
99 has been worn forever,
right.
But
I don't mean that the amount of people that wore a number.
Right.
I mean, was 4 or 5 good players that wore a number? Did that supersede
the Hall of
one
very good?
Great player in Tom Brady's case, in John
no,
Hanna's
it did not
case?
On our list. What did our list? It was 12, 73, 56 was in there.
I think 56 squeezed in between, right? That was number 2, correct?
56 was number 2.
Because in addition to Andre Tippett, obviously, but you had another Patriots Hall of Famer in John Morris wore that number.
There were only three players in team history who wore that number.
The third player was Rod Schoat, who was a very good linebacker in the 70s. Not an all-star, not an all-pro or anything, but three players, they were all...
Who was Rod Schoat today? Give me a Rod Schoat of this era.
Better than any outside linebacker the Patriots have right now, that's for sure. But I would say like a Roman
Anything
Pfeiffer.
Anything but Patriots
style. I would say like a Roman Pfeiffer type.
Okay, that's good.
That's a good example.
Okay, I like it.
Like
but
it too.
People head on over to the blog, click on it, look at the list, tell us where we went wrong, because we did have some debate late in the process, finding 9, 10, and guys that didn't quite make our top 10 there.
Yeah, we had about when we got to the 10th spot, we had about 5 numbers that were under consideration, and
right.
we argued it for a good 5 or 10 minutes, and finally had to decide.
But if I took the fun out of it, that's the only thing that I found that wasn't fun, is we didn't really have much debate. I think we all agreed too much.
Well, we started with 39, I believe. I broke down from, you know, 99
from
possible
99,
numbers.
Yeah.
I went through and said, these 39, at least we can talk about them. We pretty quickly narrowed it down to 18, I believe.
Yes.
And
without any debate at all.
18 down to 10.
Well, down to 9,
yeah.
yeah. And then the 10th one was the one where we had the most trouble.
Yeah.
And
we
then
seemed,
ranking
we
them,
seemed to get 9 in, and then it was like up to like 2 or maybe 3 choices for the last spot.
Right.
And but we had some modern guys that contributed.
Mm-hmm.
Hernandez, Gronkowski, and
McCourty
contributed to, and I thought 32 was a fascinating number. I think that
a
was
good number.
Yeah.
The best, maybe the best quantity number on the list. You had all these 1,000-yard rushers. You had a guy who looks like he's on his way to an all-pro career as a cornerback. I thought that was a very impressive number.
Yeah,
but you don't think of it as, ooh, 32 for the Patriots.
Because there were some good players that, you know, like Leonard Russell was a good 1,000-yard back.
85's in the mix, too, though.
Yeah.
You had Andy Johnson was a good all-purpose back in the
Nobody
70s.
Nobody threw the halfback.
Like, and we're dead.
What did you just
Probably shouldn't lean on that button.
Yeah.
We're dead.
Such a monkey.
In addition, as you said, to a young Pro Bowl cornerback in Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
And that's what I think made that number interesting is that it's one of the few where offensive and defensive players can wear it. And there was a good mix of those, as we just mentioned. Most of them are either, you know, all offense, all defense, typically.
But 85, you get it too.
85, you get it too. With
and Adams.
Julius
and then
Adams,
you
right.
have the tight ends, the mm-hmm. modern era kind
Cook
of the tight
and
end.
Hernandez and those guys, right.
And even Jermaine Wiggins, who contributed to it, you know, not that he would have been the reason that
right.
you made 85.
He's a good player.
One for all those other guys, mm-hmm. you wouldn't mention Jermaine Wiggins, but contributed mightily to a Super Bowl
Nobody hurdled potential tacklers like Jermaine Wiggins.
Especially in the snow.
East mm-hmm. Boston zone. Fat boy with remember the plastic shirts he used to wear, and he never lost weight. He stayed fat the whole time.
And then you have the same kind of deal at 87, you know, with Ben Coates and
G-Force,
you know, Rob Gronkowski today,
Lynn
Dawson,
right?
It's just a tight ends number.
Yeah, so it's a good list. Head to the blog. There's a link there to the actual
and
pseudo.
Don't forget David Givens.
Yeah, that's right. The pseudo slideshow. Can't really call it a slideshow.
No, because it doesn't work.
In fact, because it doesn't
work
that
way. Why don't we do that, Andy?
Because we can't have slideshows on Patriots.com. Thanks to the webmaster, Chris Ferreira.
That'll be the first of the 7 grenades I lob at Andy today.
I think he's out of the office. Every door up there is closed.
It is kind of like archery practice.
Geekville is closed.
Geekville, Fredville.
Oh, Fredville.
Yeah. Fred, like we said, Fred is out fighting crime
at Long Pole
somewhere. We don't know exactly where. Is that going to be his weapon of choice, the long pole?
The long pole.
Yeah.
He carries it with him at all times.
Well, Todd in Nova Scotia writes in saying that Fred, superhero Fred, the Cadillac crime fighter, needs some sidekicks, and he's offered to let us be his
deputize
sidekicks.
Us?
He's deputizing us. He
Something
says,
tells me I'm about to be made fun of.
You are. You're last, though, Paul. Todd says, since we found out Fred's alter ego is the Cadillac crime fighter, here are the other guys' superhero names and their powers.
Super Nostril, Eric.
No, Eric is Kid Pompous. He has the ability to trace the likeness of villains from a simple photograph, but since this process usually takes at least 2 years, the criminals are usually long gone by the time he gets an ID. He also has the power of talking down to people, making them want to surrender as he scolds their grammar, the way they pronounce their names, and general finger wagging. If that doesn't work, Eric tears off his green T-shirt, revealing his muscular frame, and most criminals run at that intimidating sight.
Okay.
Andy is Captain Fathead. That's Captain Fathead. His powers include knocking villains out with his massive head. The last things criminals hear is Captain Fathead's catchphrase, "I'll give you head." Then he giggles and says, "Not in a gay way."
Now that's funny.
Andy also has a gas attack that can kill in seconds. Criminals take note, Captain Fathead doesn't work on Tuesdays.
Or Fridays,
that's right.
In the summer.
Of Andy.
No, I lost it. It's now the summer of Fred.
And last but not least, Paul
is modeled after Professor X from X-Men. He is CP, or couch potato. Instead of a wheelchair, he has a recliner chair with a built-in fridge for Miller Lights and Diet Pepsis. He sits in front of a massive wall of TVs, all on different sports that he will never forget one moment of, while simple things like his wife's name and birthday get pushed out of his massive useless memory. Paul also has the ability to go from zero to hot, and you won't like him when he gets hot. This lockout can't get over quickly enough, Todd concludes.
All right.
Good job, Todd.
That was the response we got from the PR department when we told them the list we were working on yesterday.
Well, that was another part, I think, that kind of irked me, you know, in terms of leaving the fun out of it or whatever. We kind of batted it around a couple of different people, including Fred, who's, I think, should be embracing those kinds of things that we do. He walked out and said he had no interest. And then a member of the PR department comes in and says, oh, geez, lockout can't get over quickly enough. What are you going to do in the middle of June, lockout or no lockout? There is nothing to be had.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I was a little annoyed at that.
Yeah. From
if I conveyed that to your list, Andy, I apologize 1,000 times.
You did a little
bit. Because I like the list. I like lists. You know that.
You do. Yeah, I mean, lists are fun. Lists are instant debate.
Just like the games that our listeners bring forward all the time. I enjoy those.
Exactly.
Immensely.
By the way, James Sanders and Lawyer Malloy just missed out for 36. I just wanted to pass that along.
I'm giving Paul the Fred look into the camera
Lawyer
right
Malloy
now.
Lawyer Malloy or Rodney Harrison, Patriots all-time team. Safety.
Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison.
Based on?
Production,
bigger
titles,
plays in bigger games.
And bigger impact on the defense's overall persona.
I disagree. But anyway.
Really? You're Hey Lawyer?
Yeah, I think Lawyer had a better Patriots career than
I do too, but I think the
and
big
he,
plays
and,
put
and,
you
and
over the top.
And he had titles and big plays and Pro Bowls
yeah.
and all that
See,
stuff.
See, I don't think he had as many big plays in playoff games and Super Bowls that Rodney Harrison did.
Right.
I think Rodney Harrison made a lot of big plays at big times.
I do too. I love Rodney. You know that.
Willie,
I think Lawyer,
Willie Clay will still be number one in my heart.
Willie Clay.
Big play.
My goodness.
Big play Clay. For those other football fans out there, the U.S. beat Panama 2-1, I think, last night.
I don't buy that for
one,
a second.
One,
it had
nothing.
To be 1-0.
It was 1-0.
Dempsey
goal was it?
Every soccer game ends 1-0.
All right, so they're in the finals of the Gold Cup for us.
Yeah, as if we can.
Against right. Mexico.
Yes, rematch of the last time when they lost 5-0. Anyway,
Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu?
Now or all time?
Ed Reed.
Easily.
I think it's a blowout, too.
Yeah.
Teddy Bruschi agrees with us, although I'm not hearing him say it was a blowout. He just picked Ed Reed.
Yeah, tremendous.
This is where Fred would say, Paul, we're on the radio. Nobody can see what you're looking at.
Well, at least he's talking about football now, not tennis.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you care? You spent the first 15 minutes on Twitter.
That's what I do. I was scanning for any information I needed to bring to the
table. I assume,
and as usual,
Kevin, that
Twitter
this is,
provided none.
This is from the Facebook page, Paulie in L.A.
No, yeah, Dane Fletcher responded to me, said yep. I'm his new best friend.
Paulie in L.A. via the Facebook page says, if we get the CBA on Monday, what do you guys feel the Patriots' first order of business would be? How crazy will things get with free agents?
Knowing Bill, sign rookie free agents.
Well, sign draft picks.
Well, no, there's no rush to do that. They'll just do that like they always do the last week before camp.
Right. But there won't. But there'll be
I
a shorter time
Bill
for them
thinking,
to do that.
Oh my God! I got to get undrafted free agents. Got to get undrafted free agents. One makes my team every year. One make my team. Got to have a Raven Throne. You know, everybody
Ross.
Else is scrambling to sign Sidney
Ross,
Rice.
Ray, you know, whatever,
whatever. He's looking to get
one
the,
of the
53rd man on the roster. You know, we're seeing if could he make an offer on Tom Bailey, and he's making an offer on Joe LaFetch.
Now, this is a good question, though, Paulie.
It's just funny because you said LaFetch.
Yeah.
Like what you said, but Joe LaFetch, just a funny name.
So what do you think the first
like,
order of business
the birds,
would be? Seriously.
Fred, I picked a good name. If I had just said
I
Joe Smith, wouldn't
I don't
funny.
Think they'll be making a big splash in free agency.
I don't either.
I think they'll
Hell no.
do what they
either.
Always do in free agency.
Unless the big splash was announced, we've reached a deal with Logan Mankins on a 5-year, $50 million contract.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned,
too. I would be, too, but I think that's the only big deal. I think all these fans that have these dreams of Sidney Rice should go back to sleep and find a new dream.
I think that there'll be some veteran-type player.
Actually, mine would be Jarrett Page, by the way.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up. Because
the
now,
MMA. I think he's going to have a great year after this MMA work.
Well, yeah, because now if the...
He's the only guy affected, correct?
On this team.
On the...
Yeah.
Let's go break down the Texans.
I was leaving out the 280 other guys who were fours and fives.
I just almost swore.
That was a Fred
I just almost
there.
Quoted Dante Scarnecchi as favorite yelling at offensive linemen.
That
was a Fred moment.
I believe, just to let listeners know what we're all cackling about, Jarryd Page was the only guy the Patriots had potentially impacted by whether or not it remained at 4 years or if it increased to 6 years for unrestricted free agency.
Or five or whatever they chose
it looks
to do.
It looks like it's probably going to remain at 4 years, which means Jarryd Page is going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Well, right.
We operated under the 2010 rules and tendered him as a restricted free agent, which was just an uncapped year quirk.
I think they'll sign him.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big
I don't think that's a huge
priority.
I think he's
priority, but I think they, I think,
sorry.
Yeah, I think they liked him enough to give him that.
But whether
tender,
he starts or Merriweather starts or Sanders starts or whoever, I don't think there's much difference.
I'm expecting a breakout year from Jarryd Page. Heard it here first. Big plays,
certainly.
Big plays.
I've heard a lot of in terms of breakout for unheralded guys.
Taylor Price.
No, even more unheralded than that. And
Eric Moore.
You guys can let me know if you've heard anything, but Darnell Jenkins, practice squad wide receiver, kicking around.
Nuke. Nickname.
I actually
Nuke Jenkins.
100 and nothing.
And I'll credit or, mock, depending on your point of view, I guess, on Darnell Jenkins. Tom Curran is one guy that I remember seeing right.
He did a little story about him.
Expecting some big things out of him. He had some positional breakdowns that he did, and in the wide receivers, he thinks that he's a guy who could emerge as a threat.
My guess is he just wanted to pick somebody different, didn't want to go with Taylor Price, and there wasn't much else to go with.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with there. He tried to go outside the box. Kind of like when you said that Tyrone Willingham was going to be a candidate for the Patriots' head coaching position.
That was a classic.
I think that's what he did. I think he just made up a name, basically.
Another Facebook.
Well, let me tell you something. If he made up a name as blatantly and
brazenly, I bet it'll work out as well as Tyrone
as
Willingham's
I did,
career
that's
has
really,
gone.
That's really bad.
Because Tyrone Willingham's career since then, he's going the Dave Wannstedt route and slowly moving down the ladder.
Another Facebook question. This one from John in Palm Bay wants
to know.
It's the
last time I ever tell you one of my little secrets, by the way.
Wants to know how much room the Patriots have under the cap.
Cap?
Yeah, that's the answer. $120 million,
that's saying?
He wants to know how much the team will have left to spend on free agents once the that begins. And he's right. It all depends on what they decide the cap floor and ceiling are.
I mean, we don't know. Like, a guy like Jarryd Page, who they tendered, that's irrelevant now. A guy like Logan Mankins, we don't know. They could change how they figure out the franchise number. It sounds like there's going to be a franchise tag, and they'll use it on him, but it may be the $10 million that it was previously. It may be less. It may be more. There's too many balls in the air.
And I would say that regardless of what the numbers are going to be, the Patriots are going to have cap space because they situated themselves to be in with much fewer free agents and hanging contracts right now than a lot of other teams did heading into this labor unrest. So my guess is that the Patriots are going to be in pretty good financial shape heading out of the lockout.
The other issue is just what we talked about earlier in a 2 week free agent period. Are people just going to re-sign with their own teams, figuring, okay, I'll hit the market when there's a real free agent? There's going to be a lot of unknown, uncertainty, what people want to do on both sides, signing players that may not be as ready because, boom, they got to hit the ground running in training camp. Essentially, it's like getting a rookie. So you could get a guy that you think is good, and he ends up being Taylor Price. It's almost a redshirt year because he's trying to learn the offense. He's slow to pick up, whatever. And on the other side, players might look at it the same way. Should I just stay where I know the system?
Yeah.
They know me.
There's
more than money at play.
I'm very anxious to see how this plays out. It's kind of like last offseason when we had the uncapped year and all those rules, and we all expected, oh, there are going to be a lot more offers for restricted free agents than we've seen, and it turned out that wasn't the case. Is this year going to be a year where, like you said, guys who normally might have jumped ship are going to be less likely, A, because there aren't offers out there, because there's not going to be enough time to negotiate a better deal? Are they going to just take one-year offers? I think it's going to make for an interesting dynamic whenever we do get around to free agency, which looks like it might be sooner than later, if you're believing the reports that we talked about at the top of the show.
Yeah, I just don't think there's going to be enough time to have free agency be a substantial part of the 2011 season
right.
for the NFL.
Yeah, in general.
You know, forget the Patriots. I just don't think there'll be enough time for enough teams to make significant moves in free agency enough that it's going to alter.
But some teams may look at it that way. If you're the
teams will make moves. I just don't think there'll be enough of them to alter.
If you're the
Panthers,
you say, you know what? We're going to suck this year either way, so maybe we treat it differently than, say, the Jets or the Patriots, who they're competing for a Super Bowl this year and can't afford to waste a season in any way.
That's a good point.
So maybe the worst teams, you know, I think it's going to be a fascinating short period of time to watch how teams approach it and players approach it.
It's unfortunate because all these guys that are in the prime of their career, fourth and fifth year guys, the guys that we talked about last year as possibilities to be targeted as restricted free agents, didn't end up happening, but they will be unrestricted now, and they're losing a year as unrestricted free agents because they're not going to get the amount of attention and offers that they would have under normal circumstances.
And there'll be one tragic story of a guy who says, you know what, I'm just going to play a one-year deal, and then he blows out his knee or something so he doesn't get the big money the next year when he expected to hit free. There'll be one of those.
And they make a movie out of him and be all depressing and whatever. End up a Pittsburgh Steeler. An old Pittsburgh Steeler. You know how it all ends for them. Those steroid guys of the 70s.
Dead?
They're all dead.
Yeah, not good.
Evidently, Bradshaw was the only guy not doing roids.
Maybe he should've.
he had other issues he was dealing with.
He certainly did.
Fresno, California, the place where some of your favorite Patriots hail from.
Two of them, anyway.
Exactly.
Jimmy from Fresno?
He's from that area, I believe.
Yeah, he's a California
guy. The Valley guy.
But, I mean, I know Jenkins is from
yeah,
that area, right?
I believe he is.
I think
somewhere
he is, too.
Cathy's Valley is in
Cathy's
that area,
Valley,
right?
Yep. Tim is writing to us from Fresno. Says, hey, guys, got my PFW paper yesterday. My first issue, I must say. It's well-written, and the layout is great. But he wants to know, Paul, how old is your point-counterpoint picture?
That's a couple years old.
It's not that old.
Certainly not in
newspaper business.
I mean, I cut my hair since then, but I didn't have really.
So did God.
But to be honest with you, I was well into the bald stage when that picture was taken. It was different.
I mean, he's certainly no
different.
Danny Ventura of the Boston Herald.
Oh God, yeah,
has a photo in there that is
that
a fade
was,
from the 80s.
Right. That photo is
well, really
high top
bald
fade.
There, yeah. Didn't you?
It's within 5 years. It's not new by any means, but it's within 5 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot older pictures in the system of me than that one. I could make myself look a hell of a lot younger.
Yeah,
than,
those black and white ones
picture.
With the
but
you know,
all
the slides
of them. I mean,
them.
Ron Borges,
going back to the 40s,
I forget
Paul.
Which publication it is, has a photo that it's from the 70s. It's got to be. I mean, that's
Sporting News.
They
I
just
think.
Go in and they never change them.
Right.
We do. Paul Domowicz in our paper, the photo is like 20 years old.
Yeah.
Well, 15 at least.
Yeah, that's an old photo.
It's just the way it works.
He also says he has a point for Fred, who's not here, but in relation to Fred's editorial letter at the beginning, he agrees. He thinks Ray Lewis may have meant players would get in trouble as well when he was talking about all, you know, crime going up if there was any missed games. And he says, let's hope the boobs in the negotiation pull their collective heads out of their collective arses and get the deal done. Amen.
They will. Don't worry about it. I'm telling everybody, move on. And now it's just the details, the period, the I's and the T's. Let's just move on to real football.
I see Monkey left the studio.
Hopefully
Does that mean
go
lunch,
lunch
is on the way? Do we even know who bought us lunch today?
I don't, but I'm sure that
we'll have to find
the
that
Monkey
out.
Will tell us.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Just because, you know, you're assuming that he's on
it's
top
fair,
of things.
It's a fair point. By
I
the,
need
yeah,
to recap some stuff
intellect.
From Tuesday.
Nothing
suitable. Because I did
my
check in on the iPhone app, which is tremendous. It's
yeah,
very
you,
clear.
You actually participated.
There's
read
one
your
negative.
Did you hear that?
What?
We read your email.
Oh, I wrote that really late too.
Yeah, because it was you, I think, Fred. Right before we signed
interjected.
Off.
But
yeah.
I highly recommend to anyone if you have an iPhone, get the Patriots app. You can listen to our show. Boom, quickly, very quickly. The one downside, even Fred tells me, is going to be fixed this summer. He said, right?
Yeah, you can't multitask right now.
You can't listen
you
to us and
to.
Then leave it and go do other stuff. It shuts off the feed. But other than that, it sounds good, crystal clear. Very, very, very good. And I tuned in a couple times, one of which bothered me in that Fred wants Fred's worried about the offense for some reason. And wants
yeah,
defenses.
Yeah, he thinks they're going to be terrible? Is
well,
that
he
what he said?
He's worried about
terrible
receiver.
Terrible is a strong word, but he's much more worried about the offense than I would say he needs to be.
And he wants defenses to fear or be concerned with the running game as much as they are with the passing game and Tom Brady. To which I responded, well, then you need to get Emmitt Smith or Walter Payton or one of the greatest running backs
of
in the history of the NFL because that's what you have at quarterback. We don't have that. Teams the running that, game will be good enough.
Teams that defenses fear the running game and the passing game equally are teams that don't have anywhere near the passing game.
Right.
The Patriots do, or the Colts do, or you know the Packers do.
Name
teams,
any of them.
These
I mean.
Teams that have great offenses with great passing games don't have running games that are feared equally, even if they have good running games. The Saints had a good running game when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They had a productive running game with Pierre Thomas
they had a committee,
and Reggie Bush
like New
and
England
those guys.
Does.
They were good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't fear the running game
nor should they.
Equally to what they did with all those weapons that Drew Brees had.
And my other issue was he thinks Rozay Dowling is going to be a starter by mm-hmm. the end of the season, which may or may not be true. I don't know.
On the edge or as a slot guy?
No, as a starter.
What
is he outside
saying?
Corner.
As
starting
outside
quarterback,
corner?
Yeah. And I have issues with that on a lot of levels.
Something catastrophic would have to happen to one of the
well, first
I
of all,
said I would
incumbents.
Be surprised if it weren't. If it didn't mean there was an injury to Lee Bodden.
If Lee Bodden is a backup, then last offseason was the worst offseason in the history of pro football.
So a lot of money to throw at
because Tully Bantakane is now a backup, and you mm-hmm. gave him $6 million. And I believe they gave approximately $6 million in bonus money to Bodden on a $20 million contract. And if both those guys are backups now, those were terrible signings. And the other issue I have is he's got all this faith in Rozay Dowling, but he has no faith in the running backs they drafted. You know, he's worried about the running game, doesn't like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and these running backs, who knows what they can be, blah, blah, blah. But he thinks Rozay Dowling is the answer at cornerback and is going to be starting within 16 games of his rookie season. So I just, sometimes I don't understand his logic and the way he looks. His thing. I have no problem being worried about
sometimes?
Certain things. Well, sometimes he seems logical, every once in a while. But I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, to me, your concerns with this team are on defense.
Of course.
Because
first
may
foremost.
Say, oh, Brady's not going to, you know, keep the picks as low this year. There were so many that could have been picked. Well, you know what? A bad year for Brady is 13 interceptions.
Now, I mean, that's not to
that's
say
what it is.
That's not to say you shouldn't be concerned with the apparent lack of depth at wide receiver right now, the unproven talent behind Welker and Branch. That's
what about
not,
the apparent lack of depth, that defensive line, outside linebacker,
I agree
inside
with you.
Line?
No, I agree
mean,
with you.
To me, any question you bring up on offense, you can bring up fourfold on defense. Because there's all the questions on offense. What are the chances they all go bad? Oh, Gronkowski and Hernandez were
if,
flashes
in
the
my
pan.
Opinion,
and Welker and Branch get old overnight. And Taylor Price can't do anything. And Tate can't do anything. And the running backs aren't as good as they were. What are the chances they all go for the
but
negative?
I'll even take you a step further.
Ridiculous.
To me, all of the questions on offense are about depth. I think they have plenty of play. They have Gronk and Hernandez at tight end. They have Branch and Welker at wide receiver. They have Benny Woodhead and two rookies in Vereen and Ridley at running back. They have guys to play. On defense, they don't have starters that we're sure about. They don't. Who's their outside linebackers? Who's the? I mean,
yeah.
I'll assume Jermaine Cunningham is one, but who's
Ninkovich.
The other? Ninkovich. I mean, maybe. And I don't mean disrespect to the players, but we have questions as to who the starters are on defense. We have questions as to who the fourth receiver is on offense. That, to me, is a big difference, a huge difference. Not to mention the fact that the offense for the last 5 years now has consistently put up 450-plus points a season, you know, and at times over 500 points.
And why?
Because they have number 12.
Right. Even if we had that on defense, if you had all these other questions, but if we had Ed Reed in his prime, or Ray, if you had one guy who you said, he's a game changer. When it's on the line, he'll change the game. Wilfork is great. I think Wilfork's the best player on this defense right now. He's a nose tackle. Or, sorry, I don't want to offend him. He's a defensive lineman. And the best I've seen. You know, he makes plays that I think a lot of nose tackles don't make when he, you know, a tackle gets missed and he chases it down on the outside or whatever. But I don't think a nose tackle can change the game. And they don't have that on defense. They don't have the consistency, the starters, or the game changers.
Along the lines of the running back issue that Fred was trying to bring up before the running game, Brandon in L.A. is writing in. He says it's sort of a fantasy football question, but it has to do with this. He was thinking about drafting Shane Vereen in later rounds, but is unsure how much he'll carry the ball, and he wants us to give him a percentage for each of the four running backs that we assume are going to, you know, the two veterans, Green Ellison, Woodhead, and the two rookies, Vereen and Ridley, how much of a percentage of carries they're each going to get.
Is this a fantasy question?
Well, he's asking.
Shane Vereen with a
he's asking for fantasy reasons, but I think the question stands just as a general argument. We can debate how much we think, you know, the carries are going to be distributed in the committee format that they've had the last few years, and it looks like they're going to continue this year.
Hmm.
Now, throw out a nice odd number like you're wont to do, Andy.
I don't think Vereen's going to get a tremendous amount of carries.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I think the obvious answer is the two guys that were here last year have the inside track to being the two guys this year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a significant portion of the for every down carries to Green Ellis and third down playmaking carries to Woodhead.
And I think if there is someone they're looking to get carries for, I think it would be Ridley because I think he's more of a traditional running back as opposed to spread formation guy. And I think that if you're going spread formation
and Kevin
and you're
going to
hand the ball
here.
Off, it's going to be, as you said, it's going to be Woodhead.
But I think Falk is also going to be in the mix. I think there's a good chance he's on the team. And if he is, to me, that makes it even harder for Vereen to be an impact guy because there's some touches there that are going to go to Falk. So I would put Vereen at the bottom of the depth chart. I would put Green Ellis at the top because not only lead back, what did he have, 13 touchdowns last year or whatever? I mean, fantasy football, if he's anywhere near that, he's a pretty good player for you. And then I would go Woodhead, and I would go Ridley. Falk to me would be a wash, and then I would put Vereen at the bottom.
508-298-0398 is the phone number, webradio@patriots.com, the email address. If you're on Facebook, join the PFW in Progress Facebook page. Get in touch with us through that. It's almost 10 of 1. Lunch is here, so we're going to take a quick break and resume with phone calls and emails right after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brad! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her, but online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do, like, a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Keep forgetting to mention, in addition to the phone numbers and Facebook page, that you can also get in touch with us via Twitter. I'm at PFW Eric. He's at PFW Paul. Andy is at Jumbo Hart. The egomaniac behind the glass there also has one, too, and tries to insert himself into the show as much as possible.
And no, it's not just a coincidence that Andy refuses to associate himself with PFW.
I'm actually the first one that had the Twitter.
He feels he's bigger than we are, so well, he doesn't want to be associated.
You know, anatomically, with his head on his shoulders, he is a little bit bigger than us.
Oh, anatomically, I'm bigger.
Ask your mother. So if you are following us on Twitter... Thank you. If you're not...
If Eric's mother's listening, I apologize.
And yes.
And if you're not, what the hell are you waiting for?
I know you already knew that Andy would go to the third grade level, but he has brought a mother joke to the show.
Yes, he has.
So it's official.
As he is
I
want
almost
to
made
do,
it to the
Paul,
second hour. That might be a new record.
As he is want to do, Paul.
It's want with a no.
Thank you.
And Eric and Paul brought their lame want joke to the show.
You used it twice at the beginning
Which
of the show.
Which makes it even worse.
Oh, it's okay when he does stuff. It's not okay when everybody else does.
I don't do it every show.
Andy, double standard heart. Anyway, if you're following us on Twitter, thank you. If you're not, please
you should be.
Do so.
I want to get to 1,000 listeners.
We have 80,000 people listening to this show.
What are they called?
Followers.
Followers.
Sam in Chicago.
You don't have 1,000 followers?
No.
No.
Wow.
Not yet.
Brian Hoyer just got 1,000, and he's, like, hanging with Brady.
Yeah. So, I mean, with all the people that listen to this show, there's no reason why we shouldn't have tens of thousands
Strippers.
Of followers.
Get on it. I want 1,000 viewers by the end of the
But
followers.
We do have some notable followers.
I'm never on it. I thought the way you tweet, I figured you'd have like
Yeah, now, Paul, did
thousands.
You know this? This is interesting. Sam in Chicago points out that, first, thanks us for the show, but was looking over your followers list and was quite impressed.
I only have like 400 or 500.
Yeah, but some of them include Rodney Harrison, Terrell Owens, Brian Billick, Ocho Idioto. Ocho Cinco.
Thanks.
Wes Horse Welker and Jay Glazer. Those people are all following you?
So they must all be following
you. The Wes Welker one is fake, apparently.
Oh, really?
I was told after I used it.
It's not authentic?
Apparently not.
What about these other ones, though? Rodney, I could see.
Well, I definitely follow Rodney, so you probably just followed
me back. So maybe he just followed you back?
In that queue.
You follow T.O. and Ocho, too?
Ocho, Andy and I sent stuff, too, when we
Because
had
of that debate Friday thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so
he
that's
probably
legit.
Us back.
That's probably legit. Brian Billick?
I follow Brian Billick, yeah.
Oh. So all these and Jay Glazer too.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so these are all people you initially followed and they probably just refollowed.
I'm guessing cuz I don't think any of those people other than Rodney would have any idea who I am.
Yeah, cuz I mean
and in all seriousness,
or the little egg photo that's next to
right.
you.
But we haven't
well, that's indicative of
We
his
haven't
shape.
Seen Rodney in 5 years, so I'm not so sure he knows who we are now either.
What's up, Paul Perillo? You don't think he'd recognize you if he saw you today?
Oh, yeah, I do. The first thing he would do is say, Paulie, you're not doing those setups like we talked about.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And
as
on
my French fries.
On it right now is Dr. David Banner, a.k.a. Anthony in Naples, who goes from zero to hot faster than Paul these days. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, Mrs. Frigno?
Well played, sir. What's going on?
What are you guys up to?
Just having lunch, you know, throwing the bowl around.
Eating a cookie.
Yeah. I'm really calling up because I heard your comments about bashing Fred as in the running game. And I have to actually agree with Fred. I think it's almost automatic. You don't have to even talk about the defense as in it needs to get better. I think that's obvious. But I think...
Well, then you don't agree with Fred then.
No,
Fred doesn't,
I do.
Fred doesn't think that.
Well, I think...
Fred thinks the offense is in much more trouble than the defense. That was his quote.
Really? Well, I think the defense, you know, we put a lot of, like, faith in Bill, and obviously, you know, that's his expertise. So, you know, I think that will come along. That's not what I'm afraid of. But offensively, what I think they need to establish a good running game, as in to extend Brady's career another 2 to 3 years. You know, because a lot of people, like, I don't know, I tend to notice when he takes those big hits, and it's just like, he doesn't get hurt, he gets back up, but as you get older, those get tougher and tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it would be nice to have a little, a good running game to help balance that out.
Anthony, what's your prediction on Kevin Faulk's status?
I think he'll go to camp and then realize, you know, it's going to be too hard for him to come back and to be at the level he was. I you know, honestly, if you guys remember, I predicted almost 4 years ago he was on his way out. So I think it's
diminishing skills. Andy said the same
thing. I was with
you,
brother. I was with you.
You know? Yeah, he held it in there. So you got to give it to him. I thought he was already in the back nine 4 years ago. I just don't think after a knee injury like that, you can come back.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially for him, because the quickness and the lateral agility, which is how he makes plays, he's not that fast. That's what you lose coming back from that ACL, especially the first year. You know, long term he might get it back, but there is no long term for him. If he comes back this year, it's probably the last year. And is he going to be able to come back enough this year? I mean, we saw it with Wes Welker last year, how long it took him to get up to speed. So I think it'll be difficult. It'll just be interesting to see if he gets the opportunity and if he takes it. He may take the Teddy Bruschi route and just
I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think the fire is still there, obviously. It hardly ever dies out for these players when they get towards the end, but I think he's going to realize that the body just, and the competition is going to be fierce. There's going to be, these young rookies are going to come in. Green Ellis and Woodhead are going to, they're not just going to, you know, lay over, roll over and die just because he's Kevin Faulk.
Would Bill cut him?
No. He wouldn't.
Really?
I don't think he would cut
him. To the office, and Bill will have a chat.
I agree with Anthony.
Yeah, and that to me is cutting him. I think he
would. Kevin Faulk, my goodness.
I think Bill might have that conversation, but if Kevin said, well, I want to give it a try, I think Bill would cut him.
And that would be clear if he at least works out to go somewhere else.
Yeah, he's going to be another one where Bill's going to have a hard time, like, holding back the tears, you know?
Yeah.
He barely held it together for Troy and for Bruschi. And I think that's another one where it's like he always asked him to do certain things and he did it.
Right. We saw it with David Patton last year. We saw it with Bruschi the year before. I think we might see it again with Faulk this year.
I hope he's either on the team or we see the press conference. That would be the hope, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen. He's a good guy. You know, it's
the best.
It's time to move on.
Yep.
But, yeah, all right, guys, take it easy. Have a good one. Enjoy your lunch.
Whoa. I need you to rip Eric a little bit here for the idiot things he said last week.
No, I've been going to therapy, you know. and, you know, it was just brought to my attention by his girlfriend last week by the email, came to his defense that, you know, he's right. I do have GPS, and, you know, I'm trying to get it together.
He does. You know? Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's a battle. But I just go to the gym and try to compensate for what I lack.
And he puts shirtless photos of himself up on Facebook to compensate.
And
for
luckily, Eric doesn't have to compensate because, you know, he'd have to use his genitalia.
Yes. I just hope when that day finally comes in about 150 years when he dies, he will donate his body to science so people can study. It will be wonderful.
Well done.
For the best of humanity.
All right, Anthony.
All right, bye-bye.
Good sport. All right, man, we'll talk to you later.
That was funny, bye-bye.
All right. Lunch, how is it today?
Tremendous. Cookies not the best ever because they're a little, I like them
overcooked?
A little undercooked.
Well, they're overcooked
they're
today?
I don't think they're overcooked. They're cooked.
They're just cooked?
They're very
They've
good.
Been coming undercooked.
You like sushi cookies then?
Lunch was excellent. The cookies are excellent. Thank you very much, I believe.
Steve in Sydney? In Sydney, Australia. Thank you, mate.
Good day, mate. Another shrimp on the barbie.
Very, very...
A dingo ate my baby.
Very nice of you to do that. It's the middle of the night over there in
I bet they love that.
Sydney.
They hate it. I did it once before. And they go, okay.
Oh, I found, by the way, what Eric was doing.
He could be on Walkabout.
He could be on Walkabout. Leave him alone. He's on Walkabout.
I happen to see Eric participated in the U.S. Open this week. I don't know if you saw it, but... and I forget the guy's first name. But
Pompous and last name Ass.
The low amateur for the U.S. Open was a guy by the name of Cantlay.
But Eric's
not for lack of trying,
right? Eric's would be doesn't lay.
Just
theoretically, he can.
Just refuses to.
It's been a while. Basil,
6 years. I heard. just gonna put
there are reports out
there
that are unconfirmed.
Is that an erroneous?
Basil, our old friend Basil, writes in, and he makes an excellent point, a very excellent point, tying the beginning of the show
Didn't you ask to see Basil's junk once?
No. That's inaccurate. That was taken out of context. Anyway.
Remember he said, can we get verification or so he wanted to see how
his
long
his girlfriend
was
sitting right next to me and I looked to her and I was asking her if that
you
was the case.
To see his
I did
junk.
Not want to, I'm not Fred. I don't want to see other guys' junk.
Junk?
Oh, but, Fred just wants to, forget it.
Basil writes in and points out that, you know, Fred, the Cadillac crime fighter, isn't here today.
Yes.
Isn't here today. And he wants to know, well, first, this guy's still loving the show. Quick question. Just wondering, does the reason Fred is out today have anything to do with the FBI catching Whitey Bulger?
Could be.
Maybe the Cadillac crime fight. Where is this lacrosse tournament?
Santa Monica, California, I think.
Is it really?
At the Princess Laguana, whatever it was, apartments.
Wow. So, no, that was the ploy. He's going to go to a lacrosse tournament here on the East Coast, and he's actually out on the West Coast.
Could be.
Fighting crime. That's an excellent, excellent point, Basil.
Well, does he have a sidekick in real life? Because I swear yesterday he was in his office, and I was leaving.
Save that email from Basil, by the way, Kevin. There's a personal note at the end there for you.
I think somebody was driving Fred's car yesterday.
Well, he also
decided... Oh, I saw that. When we were leaving?
Yeah.
Like towards the end of the day?
He also decided on Tuesday when you guys weren't here that, you know, we were talking about his sidekicks. Well, he thinks that he actually has a real-life sidekick. It's Jake and Nikki Steele. He thinks that works. You know, his wife's name is Nikki. He thinks Nikki Steele works. And, of course, he pointed out, I'm sure that's a porn star, too. But
oh, yeah.
Well, that'd be perfect. They're made for each other.
But
then.
does Nikki Steele have any interest in being the sidekick?
Probably not.
Or does she think it's stupid? Which, I'm guessing she thinks it's stupid.
How many times a day do you think she shakes her head?
A lot.
Because I know how many times Beth shakes her head at me.
Yeah.
Don't shake your head.
Don't shake your head at me.
Did you watch the NHL Awards last night?
I did not.
I watched a little
Timmy
bit.
Timmy Thomas?
They had some quality presenters.
Was it really bad?
I thought it was, personally. But
Jay Moore hosting, right?
It was also funny because every award was a Vancouver Canuck. Every award. And it was just funny. You know, they didn't win the cup.
Was Jay Moore any good?
I didn't think so in the parts. I didn't watch the whole thing. I was in and out. But the parts I saw, I didn't think he was overly.
Is it me or is he looking old?
He looked a little old.
He's
off.
Got a really receding hairline. It makes him look a lot older, I think, than...
No. Is he fat, too?
Well, he has a little bit. He actually has put on weight.
He is a little plumper than he used to be.
Yeah, he has put on weight, but I think he's real. I think he's very funny.
Sometimes.
I used to like... There was a sitcom that he was on recently.
Yes.
That's not on anymore. It was called Gary Unmarried.
Gary Unmarried?
It was very funny. It's a good show, but evidently I was the only one who thought so.
Seems to be a lot of shows if that's the case with you.
Well, because everybody, I think, in Hollywood now is all they want to do is get these reality shows.
Yeah.
They're hell of a lot cheaper. You don't have to pay any of the actors. I mean,
it's laziness. No creativity. We need more John and L.A.'s.
I'm just not a huge reality show. I mean, and there's plenty of the reality shows that I have watched and have enjoyed. Like The Amazing Race, I generally watch that. But I just, there's a reality show at all hours of every day on every channel. Enough.
Yeah, that's got to end soon.
Whatever happened, Andy, to the good old fashioned sitcom and one of our favorites, it's never going to be the same.
Two and a Half Men.
Oh yeah, that's done.
It'll never be the same.
Not only is it not going to be the same, I hate the person they're bringing in. It'd be one thing
Ashton Kutcher.
I shouldn't say hate. Hate's a strong word.
Hate's a strong word, but I'm with Andy on this one.
I really don't care for him. Don't care for him at all.
I don't think he's that talented.
No.
He's never done anything that I thought was good.
You didn't like that 70s show? He was kind of funny.
Not him. Yeah, I didn't really like him in that show. No, I liked the other characters.
I think Punk was his career highlight. I don't know how much of it was him, though. The show Punk, I think, is the best thing he's ever done.
Right?
Fez was funny.
And who's the other?
Mila Kunis made the show.
She was funny.
He's so creepy.
He really, I mean, it's
unbelievable. Because when I do it, it's just funny. Like, I got a wife and kids. And people know you've been 6 years, so it's like creepy. You have a long trench coat on with nothing on underneath.
I don't have any trench coats.
That's really not right. You're really making me uncomfortable.
Well, I'm hoping it's not true so that it's not falling under rule I have. That if it's true,
Paul Perillo
I can't say
rule?
It. Yeah, the Paul Perillo rule.
I'll help
rule.
You out a little bit.
I don't own any trench coats.
Like, if you were clinically obese, I wouldn't make fun of you. You're just fat. It's funny because you're fat.
That just made him laugh.
I'm pretty sure I'm clinically obese
at this point. Well, maybe by BMI, but I am too by BMI. BMI, you got to be skinnier than him. I'm pointing to Eric.
Because you can't see that, Andy. We're on the radio.
But, I mean, realistically, think of how many people, just on a game day in the press box, how many people are significantly fatter than you.
I know that.
A lot.
But now that I'm referred to...
Or when we do this radio show and all four of us are here, how many in the room are significantly fatter than you?
Only one.
Yeah, I know, but... One out of four ain't bad. One out of three.
And but
can't
you know,
be fatter than yourself.
There's a difference now that I'm referred to as the fat guy. Who was that fat guy you were walking with when Kevin,
really
and, I,
left
Kevin and I were walking through
that
the
really
avenue?
That really did leave a mark.
It did.
It did!
It didn't come, wow. It didn't come from us.
Paul just went through puberty.
I loved the response. I want to see the cow.
I want to see the cow because you told me that she was fat. I want to see who the cow was. Am I lying?
No, you're not. We're walking up through the hallway. And
how red he's
like,
getting.
Got to have like, more cowbell.
He's just like, point out this cow who called me fat. And I lost it.
Play the cowbell drop.
I mean, if Eric wants to say, look at that fat guy. Okay, Eric is thin. But someone who is fat says, who's the fat guy you were walking with?
Who's he arguing with?
You.
The fat guy.
You.
Me.
I'm arguing with you.
I said I call you fat because you're not obese.
I could have used a little more cowbell. I got to have more cowbell.
Plus, you haven't changed that much. You've always been fat. Oh, you're not getting fatter by the day.
I haven't always been fat. And yes, I am getting fatter
Gene,
by the day.
Gene in Daytona has a question about the opens that we play at the start of each show. He's emailing in because... he's not going. He emailed this before the show because he's not going to be able to listen live. But he wants to know at the start of the show during my introduction, during the Eric Scalavino, there's a comment afterwards that says, "For now, anyway." Is he leaving the show to start his own? Are there plans to replace him? If yes, Gene would like to throw his hat into the ring. He says, "I really don't have any journalism experience, but I did work in naval underwater research for over 30 years, designing torpedoes and missiles."
We get him and James in here on a regular basis. Yeah. We got a show.
"Since PFW during the lockout are becoming more diversified and not just covering football, I believe I have a lot more interesting stories to contribute than Eric's art career. Please consider me to replace Eric." No, what the joke was, you know, we were talking about Gary unmarried before. Gary, who is married, who used to produce the show,
Gary
did a fine
unemployed.
Job. Well, perhaps. We don't need to bring that up now. You always have to stab
what?
A guy.
What?
The truth is never mean. Why is Gary not on the show anymore?
That is mean.
That's
why
that.
Is it mean?
All right. That was We're mean. Digressing. That We're was digressing
mean,
here.
The truth is never mean.
That anyway,
mean
when he produced
comment.
The show...
made it sound like you're happy about it.
I first came
I'm
on
not.
The show.
I loved Gary. You think I like this monkey more than Gary? No way in hell.
He just shakes his head. He gets mad.
Well, it's because you lost his bookmark on Facebook.
There's bookmarks on Facebook?
Yeah.
I've never been on Facebook, and I'm proud to say that.
Anyway.
Sorry, Eric. Go ahead. Proceed.
No, that's okay. No, I would love to leave at any point.
And we would love for him to leave.
And you guys would love for me to leave, too. But no, the joke when I started was that I was only going to be on for a couple of shows and then get kicked off. So Gary put that in the...
you were supposed to join John Rook and be a permanent part of that show. That
which was going to be renamed that was the Rook and the Queen.
Right.
No. You wanted to rename it that.
Kevin liked that
Look
one.
At the monkey one.
I don't think he heard
that
Oh,
now you're paying attention.
I just heard Queen and it made me laugh.
The Rook and the Queen. That was the name of the show.
I know. That's pretty creative.
Wasn't the name of the show. It was the name that you guys gave to the show.
Right. Well, actually, it was, I think
wasn't
it was
going to be the name
Gary,
of the show. Well, maybe, whoever it was. I think it was Fred.
Might have been. Oh,
I think it was Fred.
Wasn't you?
I have no idea.
That wasn't you.
You think
know.
I can remember that kind of stuff?
Are you kidding me?
I generally assume most ideas are mine.
I generally assume
you
that
you take
you'll...
most ideas to be yours.
Exactly. Thank you, Eric.
Well, they are.
Oh, he's an idea man.
I am.
Little Brian Morey in him.
Yeah.
That's why they took my laptop away. They figure I don't need to do anything. I'm just an idea man.
You don't do anything anyway.
I.
Although, unlike Brian Morey, you don't get mad when people make fun of you. You're like, I don't know. I don't remember. I'm an idea man.
Oh, he gets mad when people make fun of him.
No, I don't.
No, about stealing the ideas.
Are you done with
Brian
whatever point you're making?
Yes. We're just arguing now.
That was
for the
why,
sake of arguing.
That was why it used to say Eric. Well, that's why it says Eric for now anyway. Because
right.
you
I was supposed to
the
leave
plan
the
plan was, but you had a, you know.
But we had, you
a
know.
Hissy fit, and you ended up staying.
I have a hissy fit.
Three times a day.
We had somebody who shall not be named also who
you turned into
left
a
the show. So.
Yeah, and Mike Parenti came in.
Yeah, so maybe I did have a hissy fit. I don't remember.
But I'm pretty sure you did.
All right, Bad Kevin.
They happen so often, they're hard to keep track of them all.
Bad Kevin writes in, "Hey, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. Been a while since I've written."
Who's this? Oh,
Bad Kevin.
Kevin.
Been a while
Isn't
since
it
I've...
interesting that my girlfriend is Brooklyn Decker and yours is Brooklyn Matt?
Bad Kevin's girlfriend is Brooklyn Matt?
No, yours. Oh. You have a clearly
wait,
a...
That was the part of that statement you had a problem with?
I know. That was a little weird. I was prepared to defend one side, and
he
buttonhooks me.
He claims that Brooklyn Decker was his girlfriend.
On Twitter.
You had a problem with the Brooklyn Matt part.
On Twitter, she's my girlfriend.
Oh, is this another Brett Lockett, Kim Kardashian kind of thing
with
you two?
Basically the same thing.
Hey.
She what?
Careful.
There are microphones.
Careful. There are microphones and they're on. Anyway, Bad Kevin.
Although, with you in charge, who knows if anybody's hearing it.
Bad Kevin says, been a while since I've written. I've listened to most of the podcasts since the draft.
Let me guess, you love Tuesdays. They're
great.
Will
you stop? Being a teacher, and I have less time to listen to you during the summer. It sucks, I know. Anyway, my question is this. Do you think that the emphasis on the offensive players that we have taken and the lack of defensive players is due to the change in the rules for this season? I think the NFL is going to be a who can outscore who and not who can stop who league. The importance of defense is greatly minimized, and so the team with the best offense will win. Thanks, fellas. F the Jets, Bad Kevin.
For the most part, hasn't it been a who can outscore who league?
Lately,
I mean, Patriots, Colts,
Chargers. You know my feelings on defense wins championships,
Saints.
Right? I don't think I have to go into that. But I mean, I think there was at least as many examples where the dominant defense won a championship and the dominant offense won a championship.
I just feel like even though almost going back like a decade, the quote-unquote dominant defenses were playmaking ones that had the ability to create turnovers, going back to the Rams and the Patriots
Saints.
And the Saints, and teams with the good offense and a defense that could come up with some turnovers win.
And then even when you have the great defenses that have won, like Pittsburgh, it's taken offense to win the game.
Right.
And to win in the playoffs. You know, they don't win that Super Bowl over the Cardinals with a pedestrian offense. If they didn't have a great offense, they wouldn't have won.
Right.
Sorry, just finishing off a little lunch there. Connor writes in wanting to know about PFW in Progress replay. Says, guys, great shows recently as always. Last show there was a question about BB's motivation and looking over his shoulder. Does that sound familiar, Paul? You're not paying attention?
Motivation, looking over his shoulder?
Yeah, Belichick.
Yeah, you just said it.
Does that ring any bells from Tuesday?
No, it actually doesn't.
It's like working with a kid over
oh
there.
Oh, my gosh, seriously.
ADD.
Anyway, he's wondering.
You asked me if it rang any bells, and I said it didn't. Doesn't mean it didn't happen on Tuesday.
All right.
You asked me what the score was in the game in 2002.
Exactly.
I'll give you
you'll remember that. Right.
That was part of Tuesday's show.
You're remembering things from way back?
That are completely and utterly
irrelevant. Anyway, Connor's wondering what our feelings are about the upcoming Georgia immigration law.
I know what Connor's talking about now. And it has nothing to do with the Georgia immigration law.
Okay.
On Tuesday, someone was saying how is it good to have, you know, is Belichick complacent? Would it be better to have him have some fear for his job? You know, maybe he's won so much and he's so in control, he doesn't have to really answer to anybody. Is that a bad thing? I think that's not word for word what the argument was, but that was, you know, Bill looking over his shoulder. Would it be better if Bill were looking over his shoulder?
The way he makes some of his players feel like they always have to look over their shoulder.
Interesting theory.
Someone asked Fred about that.
I mean, a lack of win at all cost because, hey, there's always next year. I'll be here next year. It's interesting.
Mm. Okay.
The short-term versus the long-term balance.
So I'm trying to make sense.
Trading Richard Seymour.
Kevin's connecting the dots here. He's saying that.
Can he do that?
The Georgia immigration law, similar to that of the Arizona law, is there a fear of an illegal taking his job? What's really ironic is that the next emailer after that was from Georgia. Anyway, I have absolutely no thoughts or feelings on any of this, except that it reminded me of the Arizona episode last year, which was probably the funniest I can remember. Do you ever replay random shows on the website? None in particular I want to hear. I think that
I don't want to hear any. I was just wondering if you did it.
I think that most of the listeners would hit a Play PFW Classics button on the website if available. The content is always that good. And no, I don't have a football question. It's all pretty dry at the moment, unlike the end zones. Good, Connor.
It's all pretty dry, like Eric's love life.
You know what I think? You know what I think we may get to doing, though, as we go forward into the season and we're having three shows a week?
What's that?
Is we'll put together like a little like best of like the week segment. If we have a really good 10 minutes argument over, you know what, or a dream segment or whatever, mm-hmm. we can make like an hour reel that we can play over the weekend and stuff. So it's not just like an entire string of shows back to back to back. So I don't know.
That's not a bad idea.
Just an idea I had.
Not
and
bad.
Then, it'd be
but
possible.
How are you going to turn three full days of gold into one hour?
That's true. And then it would obviously, if I did that, it would be possible for Chris to put it on the website as a podcast. So
okay,
just a little something that I thought of going forward into the season.
All right,
not a terrible idea.
No, not bad. Not
the
bad.
Best you've ever had.
I'll be looking forward to you telling me how hard it was for you to put it together.
At 3 a.m.
Might have to stay till 4, but sacrifices we make.
Paul, were there some more issues on Tuesday with the people listening to the show via the their phones and different apps?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not the iPhone.
No, because there were some questions about that on previous shows, right? That there were people who were having trouble with certain applications.
Yeah, there was something that was supposedly fixed, right?
So our
didn't Chris write in or call in and say it was fixed?
He just wrote in today and said wanted to
Ferreira?
Ferreira, yeah.
I thought he wasn't here.
Well, he might be listening from home, wherever he is, or in a meeting. I don't know where he is. But he says, wanted to note to listeners with Verizon, BlackBerry, and Android phones that were having issues listening to the show. We are now being told that the issue has been resolved, and listeners on those devices can now listen to the show through the Patriots app. That's what he's being told. He's not guaranteeing that that's not a problem.
I was going to say, listeners on those devices can go.
Oh, hey.
He doesn't have the stones.
No,
through
he doesn't. He's clearly. Yeah.
He's a gyna.
Yeah. Oops. Just had that thing happen where the emails just go away, like that happens to Fred a lot. All right, Brent in Illinois writes in. Hello, guys.
Hello, Brent.
Thanks for articulating that.
One point is, does anyone else notice that when Andy is out, it seems that Eric is out as well? You connect the dots. No, that's, I'm here every Tuesday.
Not this past Tuesday,
not just
my friend.
This past Tuesday, but
there have been an abnormal amount of The Odd Couple episodes lately.
I don't feel like that's the case.
Fred and I have done a few shows. Kevin,
that might be the case
up
coming
on
up, but not the case.
We've had a few Odd Couples, haven't we?
I feel like
we?
You've done at least two in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Fat Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
I have to admit, that's funny.
Actually,
that's the second time you said it. It still made me laugh.
I think
you should lead in with it when you do the next show with Fred.
Right.
Welcome to Fat Tuesday.
It's not Easter anymore, well, not Lent, but it is Fat Tuesday.
I like The Odd Couple a little better. It's a little less offensive to me.
I really like that open, though. I just need to switch out some of the funny stuff you both have said over the last year. So it's a little more up to date, and it's not the classic like drop stuff
Fred,
that you always use.
You don't even believe your own crap.
But apparently, Brent was on a job. Orientation, new job, just got a new job recently. And
good for him.
Where did he get a job? Because I'd be interested in that.
I don't know. But no? He said a question that was asked during his orientation was...
Do you like PFW Progress?
Well, no, he'd like us to answer the question, though, was if you could get a front row ticket to any sporting event in the past, what would it be?
Front row ticket to any sporting event in the past.
That's a good question. There are a lot of those events from which to choose.
1980 U.S. Russia Olympic hockey game.
That's an excellent one.
It's a good one.
That is an excellent one. Boy,
it's a great question. This is great radio.
No, that would be tough to top.
A lot of dead air here.
I like the question though.
If you go to a Boston sporting event. I think you have to take into consideration how great the game ended up being. You know, how close it was. You know, in other words...
Not necessarily the importance of the game.
Right. Like, the Red Sox beat the Yankees in Game 7, but they ended up blowing them out.
Right.
Would you rather have been at that, which maybe had more historical significance, or Super Bowl 36, which went down to the last play,
mm-hmm.
and Adam kicks the field goal?
I'm
going to
tell you, if I weren't at Super Bowl 36, it probably would have been through Super Bowl 36.
That's what I was at.
You were there, Super Bowl 36,
and you had a front row seat.
For the purposes of this question, I'm including that. To me, 36 and 38 were two of the greatest games I've ever been at.
But I was at them, so I'm not including them.
Two of the greatest games I was ever at.
I want something.
Something that you weren't at.
Yeah. Well, the hockey one's going to be tough to top.
The hockey one.
That's a good one. I've never been to a major boxing. I've always wanted to go to like a great boxing.
Mm.
I've been to a boxing match, but not
like
I've
Tyson
been to, not
in
a
his
great
heyday.
I've been to a couple of them. I've been to a couple of Vinny Paz bouts.
You know, he's a five-time champ. I don't know.
He's
if you
a
know.
Friend of the show.
I Andy read probably, it on the back
yes,
of his hand.
I know.
Andy probably follows him on Twitter.
I don't think he has a Twitter.
No,
I'm not sure he has a pulse anymore.
Eric Scalabrine.
No.
He lives in East Providence
or North or something. Yeah, he's got a big nose. A
lot of hills.
And a sob.
Something an a-hole bought. That's what it stands for.
And it's accurate.
And it's accurate.
Good comeback.
My God. This is the worst show. This is worse than
this is
worse than the two-man effort we had on Tuesday.
Oh, you're full of it.
And it's always hard to do it with just two guys.
You're so full of it.
I'm still trying to answer this question.
Well, good. it's making for great radio.
Well, let the listeners take part in this too. What would you, if you had a chance to get a front row seat to a past sporting event, what would it be? I think that's a great topic. I think maybe one of the, I'd say probably one of the Celtics Lakers championships back in the Bird Magic era.
I think I'd want to be at one of those.
Phoenix?
Game 6, 76, triple overtime, Celtics beat Phoenix. Yeah. That would have been pretty cool. That would have been a good one.
That was at the Garden, right?
Yeah.
Because the Garden's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just proves that Fred is the one who talks a lot and talks over everybody because he's not here and we have dead air.
I mean, there's so many different Boston championships to pick from.
Yeah, especially in the last 10 years, too.
In a strange way.
And that's the way I would look at it, because I'm totally provincial.
Game 6 of the 86 World Series, because it would suck. Oh, but, like, you were on top of the mountain before somebody punched you
off. But if I ever had to walk out of that stadium that night...
Well, you would have killed somebody because they would have looked at you the wrong way, and you would have pounded them until they stopped. I don't think anybody would have needed
to kill me. I think I would have done it myself.
But I mean,
if I had to walk out of Shea Stadium, I think I might have just said, "You know what? I'll meet you guys down there."
Because
just
all I can tell you is, if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay,
yeah, he's a sword.
Meet you guys down there as in hell.
But that was
no, as in off the back of the.
I know.
I just upper deck.
I get
it. It was ending. You know what I mean? In the such history, slow ground, but like the whole thing.
Behind the bag.
I would have gone. You know, Marty Barrett was my guy.
Marty Barrett. That is so nauseating.
Guys, why is that nauseating?
Such a jag.
Shows my diversity of fandom. Bo Jackson and Marty Barrett. Phil Plantier, Shaquille O'Neal.
Do we need an intern?
Yeah, a blonde.
We do. Well, because there's a... there's a company that just emailed Web Radio and was offering French foreign...
Yeah.
Exchange students
as our interns. Told you to delete that.
That sounds good.
I deleted that out of my regular inbox.
You got it in your regular inbox?
Yeah, that came to my regular email.
Really?
My guess is that's some sort of spam.
I know.
Click on the attachments. Are there photos of them?
No,
I don't know.
Click on the attachment.
What, did you try that too already?
No, I just deleted it without even opening it.
Boy,
those are the kind of emails
really
that give
the
me...
NFL with Paul, Andy. It's
those
no
are the kind
league.
Of emails you get viruses from. Do you ever hear about these things?
Paul.
Am I wrong with that, Andy? You tell me if I'm wrong. Because if you think I'm wrong, I'll stop.
I wasn't listening.
Those are the kinds of emails generally you get viruses from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're phishing for you to open something.
Yeah.
Boy, he's getting all upset.
He really is.
I'm not getting upset.
Let's have a poll.
He says as he gets upset.
Who has a heart attack on this show first, Fred or Paul?
There's no way I'll ever have a heart attack on this show.
Well, you might induce it from just getting in a rage. Your blood pressure.
Fat.
You know?
Right back to that again.
I still think, well, Fred's fighting crime now, so that might put a little extra stress on the body.
But they both turn red occasionally and look like they're going to pop.
Especially when they're yelling at each other.
Right.
I think I turn red.
Oh, you turn a little red. Not as red as when you drink Miller Lights, but red.
I don't always turn red when I drink Miller Light either.
Right.
All right, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad from Maryland is on the line. What's up, Brad?
Man, you guys are struggling today.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, screw you.
We don't need you.
Yeah,
blow this guy up. Get rid of him. Gone.
Paul and Fred were doing all right Tuesday, but...
If you like stupid arguments about stupid arguments...
So why the hell are you listening still then,
Eric has control, Andy.
Hey,
blow this bitch up.
Game 6, 1975, the Carlton Fisk home run.
That's a good one.
I would have killed to be there.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And I think just because of the monumental achievement of breaking an 86-year curse, the Game 4, 2004 Red Sox-Rockies.
Yeah, but it was so, like, it was a sweep. And
well, it was, because it was, they so dominated. After
the Cardinals?
After struggling so hard to get there, they walked in and just walked over the Rockies.
I don't.
Cardinals. Cardinals was
04. Oh, sorry, Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but. It was a foregone conclusion at that point if they didn't do it. Whatever. I wouldn't put that one as high on my list. I still say I think Super Bowl 36, if I weren't there, would be my answer.
And I would probably put that on there.
I would rank the 75 Fisk home run just because it's become so iconic. And then the Patriots winning.
Or ionic, as the mayor of Boston would say.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
Ionic, as the mayor of Boston
ionic
would say.
Ionic, exactly what I was thinking.
And then third, I would have to say, seeing as I was, I told my kids I was only 6 years old when the Bruins won their last Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Any of the three Game 7s from this year.
Mm-hmm.
They were all...
From this year.
Yeah, this year. Yeah. Sorry, 2011, this past season. Any of those game sevens would have been phenomenal to be at.
How about the Bobby Orr, the other game when he's flying through the
flying
air
through
after
the
he
air.
Scored? Yep. That would have been, if you were sitting behind that goal, that would have been a great one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think Paul's got the best one though. The USA Russia 1980 game.
Oh yeah, no, by far that's my number one as far as
I can't remember getting so over the top excited.
Oh yeah,
where you just kind of like lose control
because it had way more to do with other things than it did with sports.
Exactly,
it was much more significant than the game itself.
It was America finally sticking it to Russia.
Word.
Yep.
Tom Curran claims that he's been posted up outside the location of the NFL meetings for 2 hours. All we've seen so far is Drape slamming shut as he walks past the window.
And where would that be, does he say?
Doesn't say.
The Westin, that's my guess.
In Waltham.
Yeah, well, the 128 Westin there, yeah.
For the players to get a smaller cut of a bigger piece than
sure.
it is to...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
because
I think
the 48% of everything is a good deal.
Yeah, if their estimates are right, and you're talking about $20 billion in the next decade, sure, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great for everyone.
And I would love to see any of those NFL Network games leave the NFL Network.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that, too.
That has been such a miserable experience because you get all these teams that the fans lobby the NFL to get it back on a regular broadcast station. They do it here in Maryland whenever it's the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they sell out. And so the fans are saying, okay, you're screwing us because if we don't have cable, we can't see this game and we can't get in because the game sold out.
Who doesn't have cable?
Well, if you don't, yeah, I mean, all games that are on cable are put on another channel because not everybody has cable.
Right.
Well, not everybody has the NFL Network capability
right.
in
that
cable package.
That's right. You're absolutely right. That's the difference between NFL Network and ESPN.
Right.
Which, interestingly, will go away if they lose the games because they couldn't possibly make it a premium channel
that's,
with
see,
no
I think
games.
That's the issue with NFL Network is the NFL's insistence on having it be better than any other cable network, that you know, the Food Network or any,
right.
you know, anything else. Just make it part of some tier, and people will get it.
But has it been that riveting a station since it aired anyway?
No,
not to make people go out of their way to pay for it. But,
I'll
tell you right
got
now,
got the games, and that's what they got you by.
I watch MLB Network, I watch NHL Network, and I watch NFL Network constantly. Would I pay for any of them and go out of my way? No, I wouldn't.
No.
Now, the only one I never go to is NBA TV. I never go to that network because I'm just not all that interested in the NBA.
You know my rule. I don't believe it's in the 900s or whatever. It's in a weird area.
It's right near – well, you don't go to MLB Network either, right?
Oh, I watch that sometimes.
It's right near there. It's like 914 and 917 or something like that.
Oh, I don't think it is on mine.
Yeah.
All right, Brad, anything
Alrighty,
else?
All right, guys. Hang in there.
Good stuff.
All right. Take care, Brad. All right.
Yeah,
a little bit of a –
They moved. They used to be – like 822, 823,
right.
and 824, NHL, MLB, and NBA. Huh. But
no, I know MLB is in 9
NHL stayed
for
me. There, and MLB and NBA went to the 900s.
Huh.
A little bit of what we always love, listener on listener crime here.
Oh,
Mike
favorite.
M, subject line, ban Brad, double exclamation points, and he gives us some suggestions. I will put you guys in my will. If you ban Brad.
Do you have anything?
I will loan you my hot sister if you ban Brad.
Send photos.
I will wash your car if you ban Brad.
I could use one.
And lastly, I will not kill you if you ban Brad.
For me, that's a good thing.
Thinking
about Eric, it's not a good thing. I want you to kill him.
send us the hot sister photos, and we'll decide.
Yeah.
We'll decide during this break. We're going to take one. We'll take
Nip
more
slip.
Of your phone calls and emails after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
No Fred here today, but Andy's here today, Paul. Andy's joining us here on a Thursday.
Well, he's here.
Yeah, well, he's here, yeah.
He hasn't exactly participated.
Well, I'm sorry. When you read this tweet, where is it?
yeah,
dead lady it. Wakes up at own funeral, has fatal heart attack on account of being in coffin.
What?
And then I clicked on the link and it was a dead link.
The Onion?
Oh. I don't know.
A dead link?
Yeah, I didn't really mean that as a funny, Eric. It didn't go anywhere. Oh, okay. Everybody, James Sanders will be hosting All American Football Camp at Russell Field in Cambridge, Mass. Go to allamericansportscamp.com if you want to go
now
see
now he's doing
James
live
Sanders.
Reads.
I've played there. Russell.
July 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Jacob in Michigan wants to know, so is Andy the Tom Brady of the group skipping practice on Tuesday and showing up for the games on Thursday?
Yep.
He's don't ever compare him to Tom Brady.
Well, in a
There's
lot of ways.
Nothing at all that they have in common.
That's true. My wife's hotter. My hair is better. I have no money. He has beaucoup dinero.
Larry... I'm assuming it's Larry the Drunk, wants to know also, do we see the Dancing Weather Girl?
Could be the cable guy.
Dancing Weather Girl?
Is that like a web phenomenon of some kind?
It's not the Neckin' Girl, is it? I'd like to see her dance.
It's
at a gentleman's club, if you know what I'm saying.
Speaking of some of the, you know, those videos and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw one that, one of my friends sent me today. It was a clip of Tim Thomas going through the line at the end of the series, the end of the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
You know, he's shaking
when
hands.
When Luongo...
And they had a voiceover. And, you know, he's shaking hands with a guy. He goes, didn't score on me. Didn't score on me. Didn't score on me. So then it gets to Ryan Kessler. Finished second again, Ryan. And then they hug. And then he pats the next guy on the shoulder. Didn't score on me. Didn't score on me. Then he gets to Luongo. He goes, yeah. 4 goals, 8 goals. Who do you think is better? And he gets, it was pretty funny.
James from Pittsburgh wants to know, he's writing in on the historic sporting events, front row seat.
Yes.
And
I figured that would get some
Yeah. He has three. His first one is Hagler-Hearns. That's a pretty good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a very good one.
That's a really good one.
And he's probably too young to remember. Do you remember Hagler-Hearns?
I remember one of them. Were there more than one?
No, only one.
Okay, then I remember it.
Okay. I'm surprised.
No, wait.
Hagler-Hearns was three of the most vicious rounds you'll ever see.
Maybe I remember Sugar Ray Leonard versus
Hagler.
Versus Hagler.
Not anywhere near as good a fight. And Hagler got screwed.
I think that's the one I'm talking about.
Now, his second one, you might have to help me a little bit on this one, Paul. 84 Summer Olympic Gymnastics.
It's Mary Lou Retton, but I have no real interest in that.
Yeah, that's a curious one. And his last one, 87 Bird Steals the Inbound Pass from Isaiah.
That's a good one.
That was a good ending. And
That's one. See, I'm
but
trying,
you know, you'd want to have to have the radio on, too.
I was trying to think of a moment that you would just be excited
Johnny Most's call.
That you lose control of yourself. You know, like that... I could see that Olympic hockey game.
Oh God!
When that clock counts down and you win,
and it was here,
you just start jumping up and down. You know, I always like to. And Andy makes fun of me for this stuff because he's not
makes
really,
fun of you for everything.
He's not. That's a good point. He's not really a sports fan, but just those moments when you're in the stands and you get so excited that your team won, you just start you're turning, you're high fiving guys you never even met. Like, you're that excited
about punching guys that you've never met, too.
I told you he would make fun.
Oh, is that Dancing Weather Girl?
She nude?
Kevin, is that?
It's radio. Strippers just sent it in. I'm trying to figure out. I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
Strippers tweeted it.
It's entertaining, though, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Proceed. Sorry.
No, that's all.
Oh, that's all? Oh, okay.
Was that the, those were his three?
Those were his three.
Yeah, I think that game, what was it, game five of the... 80.
He says 87. Yeah.
Eastern Conference Final. That was a pretty amazing finish. Something that if you were
especially if you were under that basket. Yeah,
If you had a front row seat for that game.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. But I think Hagler-Hearns, one that no one had really brought up. That's an outstanding one. That was three rounds of just massive carnage. They just killed each other for three rounds.
Yeah. All right, continuing with the emails, Brian in Baltimore says, since I live in Baltimore, just heard today some bad news that the Ravens are canceling their yearly camp located at McDaniel College in Westminster, Maryland, and once the CBA's cleared up, they will now be practicing at their home facility in Owings Mills. They'll return in 2012, but this year it will leave many fans out to dry since the Owings Mills facility can't handle the traffic safely. There's not enough parking available, so access is limited for fans. Also, the Ravens not going to McDaniel College is going to hurt local businesses. For example, last year, camp drew 112,000 fans and had an estimated $2 million impact on the local economy. If I'm a local business owner, I may cheer for the Steelers nowadays because of them not showing up this year. Do you guys think things like this will happen to other teams for camps and preseason activities for fans? How much do you think this hurts the NFL, if at all?
I think that's really, really interesting. Am I the only one?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't care?
Isn't it just lockout related?
Oh,
they
no,
think
no,
it's
no.
going to be a
absolutely, no. absolutely. That's what I find interesting about it. That they don't think they have the probably don't think they have the time.
Right.
I mean, the way I'm reading all these tweets, you know, if you have 5 minutes, it's going to be done.
Yeah.
And
no,
they,
I don't think
they're canceling something that's a month and a half away.
But I think they understand that it's going to be rushed. It's going to be hurried.
And maybe shortened.
Right.
But so why does that have to affect where it's taking place? Why can't they just tell where it's taking place? Like,
because there's a, I mean, if they do things the way the Patriots used to, you're talking about moving an entire facility to another entire facility.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot involved there.
I'm with you on that. I
get
it.
The weight room goes.
Right. But you do that every year. So you should, I mean, like, there's a procedure that.
Yeah, but you do it now.
Right.
You have it ready. You have month to, they might not have that. You don't know when it starts or when it ends or when your preseason game may or may not be. I just think the uncertainty, it makes a lot of sense.
Or if
for
it's
them.
Worth your while to do it for
right.
7 days as opposed to 15.
Right. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense for them. And it's, they're going back next year, so it's not like.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It wasn't, that was part of his point. That's why I think it's interesting, yeah. is because I think they've just, I'm inferring from that they don't feel like it will be a full camp.
Right.
And it's not worth their while to do it. Because that's what I find is interesting.
I also think there's a chance that there's a full camp on paper. The first 7 days of which are a conditioning camp, like you do in high school.
Exactly.
You can't put your helmet on until you have a certain number of hours or whatever.
Don't you think that that's what's going to happen when camp starts? They're probably not going
to
be in full
pads. And there's no need to go travel somewhere and move everything to do that when it's a walk.
That's the part I found interesting. Maybe you didn't find it as interesting, but I'm on board with you in all your logistics.
I'm not interested.
I think that there's a great chance that, especially the way Bill has been doing it the last few years, it seems like they've been constantly in full pads.
Mm.
I don't think you're going to see that.
It may even be mandated, kind of like high school football with it. You need to prove you were on the field for a certain period before, because we don't know what kind of shape these people are.
If it leads to no longer having to sit through the walkthroughs, that'd be a really good thing.
Yeah, but what if every day is a walkthrough? What if we're out there covering these things and we're trying to find play of the day out of shorts and T-shirts? Jimmy Sanders will be in the running,
We do it in the OTAs and minicamps. We cover those the same way.
Not well.
No, that's true. That's
just because we cover it,
we're just not good.
No, we are. We're the best, actually. We'll be better than everybody else, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I found it very flattering that he actually said we.
I know. I'm stunned, actually, that he said we
are Team PFW.
Well, in certain cases, we are.
Wow.
And they're the New England Patriots. They still have a Tom Brady on the roster, so does Team PFW.
Yeah,
and most
not,
people
yeah,
assume
he's
it's
not
me.
Here today.
And he's back.
Kyle in New Hampshire says the sporting event he'd want to attend most was the.
You know what they say about Kyle's mom?
Has got it going on?
No,
she's
a big fat bitch. She's the biggest
bitch in
the world.
that's two mothers he's knocked on this show today.
Oh, I've knocked on more than two mothers.
He'd want to go see the 2000-2001 Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup Game 7 when Ray Bourque finally won his much-deserved cup. I don't
elsewhere.
Elsewhere, exactly. I don't know about that, Kyle. Oleg from the Ukraine.
I know that people don't care about college basketball, but some of those, like last second shots at college basketball games in the tournament, I wouldn't mind, if one specific one doesn't
Georgetown.
Stand out right
how about
now.
Georgetown Villanova?
That'd be a good one. But Georgetown North Carolina
or Leitner.
The Leitner game, that was a fantastic game.
I hated
Kentucky
him.
North Carolina. Unfortunately, the ending.
Paul would have hung himself.
Well, I hate Kentucky, too, so that was a tough
one.
Need
a strong rope.
That was Iran, Iraq.
Thank you, Paul. Good.
No, I don't like to offend Eric.
Oleg from the Ukraine / Watertown.
Oh, my leg.
/ Watertown. He stepped over it again with his stupid joke that nobody's laughing at except him.
I find it funny.
Yes, you find everything you say funny.
Why do you need to say Watertown? Who cares?
That's what he wrote in. That's where he's from. He's from two places that aren't very close to each other.
I missed it. Read it again.
No, screw you. Anyway, he writes, "Hello, babushkas of PFW. As always, you're doing a great job. Couple of questions."
See, he said we're doing a great job.
How do you think, who do you think was more important / productive for the team last season, Devin McCourty or Rob Gronkowski? And who do you think will play for the Patriots longer? That's question one. There's a second question.
Pretty good question.
Great question.
Important.
I'm going to go McCourty for both. But the first one is a real tough one because Gronkowski was
equally important
phenomenal.
To the offense.
I think that McCourty was more important because I don't think they had anybody else to do it.
Yeah, I'll go with it. Yeah. And I'll go with McCourty long term.
But I think McCourty's going to be here longer.
Although,
they always let cornerbacks go.
Especially when they're worth $50 million.
Because they're just system players.
Yeah.
It's funny how you can be a system player from like day one when you haven't even been in the system.
There was a great.
Well, they draft system players,
right?
There was a great chart that they put up, by the way. Interception. It was about the Ed Reed story that was on interceptions since whatever date, 2002 or something, and Ed Reed has the most, and then it was Darren Sharper with one more than Asante Samuel, 44-43 or something like that.
Second part of his question: how did you feel about Jermaine Cunningham as a draft pick during last year's draft, and would you pick him over Carlos Dunlap, who was more productive for the Bengals last season?
I liked Dunlap on his college tape. Andy, you didn't. I remember you. That was one of the rare.
I would have taken him over Cunningham, though.
I loved the pick because I think they needed a player at that position. I don't think that. I thought that Dunlap was more of the player I feel like the Patriots needed.
I thought so,
and
too.
It had nothing to do with what he did in Cincinnati because I don't know. Maybe Cunningham could have done the same thing.
Yeah,
in
playing
Cincinnati.
With all those Samoans.
I don't know. Maybe he could have, but I thought that for what I think the Patriots lacked, looked like to me Dunlap was that kind of player. Bill obviously disagreed because he took a shot at Dunlap in the post-draft press conference when they took Cunningham.
I feel the same way about Cunningham I did then. I mean, the only reason that's I liked Cunningham when they drafted him was
it was
the
a body.
Position.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. They needed that position.
Aside from a single play he made last year, I still feel, I don't think he was a ball in tall grass. I don't think he was totally lost and never has a career in front of him. I also don't think he's going to be an impact playmaker. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think that's the
maybe he'll take
consensus.
The big year two Paul Perillo jump, and we'll all be excited.
Well, he actually talked about that recently.
Who?
I believe.
The year
Cunningham.
Two Paul Perillo jump?
I don't think he necessarily put it
in
those terms.
I'm pretty sure Jermaine Cunningham couldn't pick me out of a lineup.
No, but he talked about the year two jump in one of those.
Yeah, as I would be too if I were a disappointing
one of those,
rookie.
One of those many appearances he's been making lately. I mean,
and then I'd be talking about the second, year three jump.
That was the second time you made me laugh today.
Oleg concludes wanting.
Oh, my leg.
Wanting. He made himself laugh again. He wants Fred to deduct the cost of your iPhone from your paycheck.
Huh? F that.
Now he's cursing out listeners. Boy, you just.
Well, is he going to deduct the cost of your laptop from your paycheck?
No, but I didn't break
it's
mine.
It's a tool of business.
It broke.
One.
It what? Broke.
Oh, so did mine. Did I break it or did
yes,
it break?
Yes, you broke it.
No, I did. Did I take a hammer to it? It broke.
Yeah,
it
because of your negligence.
Properly. It stopped working. Because if they want to tell me that I have to pay for this, it'll never leave my desk. It'll sit on my desk because I'll say the only way I can't break it is if I leave it on my desk. If that's the game they want to play.
Who's he arguing with?
Who's he arguing?
I'm just saying. I mean, when you're given tools of the trade to do your job, sometimes stuff happens.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes stuff happens.
See, Jimmy Stewart knows.
Jonathan doesn't say where.
Jonathan!
not that Jonathan, I'm guessing.
He's busy right now. He's in a meeting.
I would
Very
hope
important
so.
One.
I would hope so, but he's writing in about the sporting events that he'd like to see. Outside the U.S.
A lot of traction on that question.
The USA-Russia would be... on top of his list, he'd also go with the Tyson taking out Holyfield's ear for the pure shock value.
USA, greatest country in the world.
Was that that wasn't the same one with the fan man too? Was it? Was that the same fight or was that
where the guy
fights?
Came into the
thing
into
and they
the
beat him? And
I
they
think
beat him.
That was.
I think it was
the same fight.
Then that's a pretty cool one just for the spectacle of it all.
I think it was. Yeah.
How about Drago Stallone?
Yeah, we would have had to been on set for that one.
Would have been cool, though.
Yeah. Cassius Clay beating Sonny Liston for the heavyweight title in 64.
Is that the one where
that's
he took
also
the dive?
On his list?
Yeah, the Phantom Punch.
The Phantom Punch. Yep.
In Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah, he took a dive. Hey, we could have gone to that.
Lewiston, Maine.
Hit Banger on the way back. Or
Banger? Banger. We just Banger. Met her.
No, he hasn't. For Eric, anyway.
He says it turned the Clay Liston fight, it turned into white American conservative boxing against the proud African-American athlete of his generation. Throw in some cheating allegations, and the situation becomes something you will never see again in this world. Clay went on from there to become Ali and an American icon for the 20th century. So that's Jonathan from Doesn't Say Where. His
where is
two
that?
Thoughts. That's, we don't know. It's in the state of we don't know.
Is it in Delaware? Doesn't Say Where? Doesn't
no,
Say
in,
Where, Delaware?
I don't know, but I'll ask her.
Oh. It's in Ware, Mass.
Wareham?
Where? The town of Ware.
No, not Wareham.
God.
You've never heard of Ware?
I've heard of Ware. You can't
even
play a stupid... He's too Where's stupid Where? To play a stupid game.
Where's Ware?
That's how stupid he is.
I'm not stupid.
Big Al from Valdosta.
You're stupid.
Here's his top pick.
Stupid head.
His
Maybe
first
the
one.
Dumbest human being I've ever met. And I've met a lot of dumb ones.
1966 NBA Conference Finals. Havlicek stole the ball. Yep. That'd be his first one. 1958 NFL Championship at Yankee Stadium. That was the Alan
cool
Ameche game.
The first overtime.
First overtime, Colts Giants.
A lot of people call it the greatest game ever.
Greatest game ever played. A little overrated, I think. But at the
time, based on your analysis of the game.
At the time, it was the greatest game ever played. I think there have been greater games played since then. Are you going to say that was the greatest game? Do you agree that that was
I
the greatest
no
game
I have no idea.
Played?
I leave it to people who've seen the game.
Yes, and some people who've seen the game
I
have said on those NFL specials that it wasn't that great a game.
But I didn't see the game, so I can't really comment.
You never watched one of those, you know, the NFL Network would take the old films and they would play the whole game through?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Of that game?
Isn't that what Fred hates?
No, so that's so.
That's so.
No, he said yeah, no, too.
Yeah, no, it's probably on there, too. That is kind of annoying. Either pick one. It's either yeah or no.
Yeah, no.
All right, bitch.
What about the Snow Bowl?
That's this last. Well, oh, actually, no. The Ice Bowl in Green Bay, Dallas was
no,
his third one.
No part of that game.
Because of the cold?
Yeah.
What if you had, oh, well, your press box, too. They have an open press box back then?
Does it really matter? How cold do you
matters,
think it was?
It's warmer in the press box than outside.
Ugh. Cold.
You too. I mean,
too cold.
Plus, are you like channeling Fred and
plus
you
it's a front row. Isn't it a front row seat?
Yeah, it is. It's,
we weren't in the press box.
You're going as a fan.
That's a good point.
Paul's got a lot of insulation. You know
God, he just doesn't stop. It's a relentless
stop.
Two-hour assault. It's a relentless two-hour assault every show. Well, once a week because he doesn't show up the other time.
It's funny because he's fat.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Hang on. Opening up. Mike in Columbus.
He has to tell us the email is opening.
It is because this happens. See, you wouldn't know because you never read emails.
I wouldn't know because I don't have a computer.
And you're not on the well, that's true, too.
Mikey, being deployed as we speak.
Mikey in Columbus. Hello, guys. With the rumors about unrestricted free agency going down to 4 years, what do you think about Cameron Wimbley as a potential defensive addition for this team? He has played in Mangini's system.
Eric had a stroke mid-sentence.
And has been somewhat productive. 06, 11 sacks, 07, 5, 08, 4, 09, 6.5, and last year, 9.5. Thanks for keeping the interest up. That's Mike in Columbus who says, P.S., want a great deal on a car? The whole Jim Tressel thing?
Get it? Columbus?
Oh.
Ohio State?
Yeah, Cameron Wimbley I'd be interested in. I don't think that they'll be able to afford him, but...
Probably
yeah.
not.
You know, he's a tweener player, though. Like,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean, I mean in terms of he's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to get money that's probably better than okay.
Someone's going to give him more money than he's
worth.
You know,
DeMarcus Ware, if he's available, throw the bank at him.
Yeah.
But you don't want to throw the bank on a guy. You know,
I
he
like
might
Cameron
be going
Wimbley.
The Adalys Thomas route again with him.
Yeah.
Where you pay too much money for a guy who's, ooh, just not that good.
One thing, one player that we were looking at recently, Jason Babin. Potential.
I've been all over him, but I don't know. No one else seems to really say, like,
well,
he
only
be a
had
good
one
fit.
Good year.
No, I know. But why? To me, he's an option.
Yeah, just
I,
not like a savior, but an option.
I wrote the same thing in SPFW this week. I would take a look at him because I think he'd be a pretty cheap alternative, and
yeah.
you might have something. I don't think you'll have to expend a lot of resources to get him. But he only had one good year. He's been a journey. He's been on like six teams, five teams.
Right. Yeah.
And he had one good year last year, 12.5 sacks.
Right. Better than Matt Roth, though.
Not career-wise.
No, but I think he's better. I don't think Matt Roth's all that good.
Matt Roth,
I'd like to add him to the mix.
I think he's played more consistently throughout his career.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a year that he had. I think his career high is like 5 sacks.
Roth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not 12.5.
Yeah. I think Matt Roth is a guy.
I agree.
But
I think
this
Jason
team needs
guys.
Guy too.
Mikey in Florida, angry man today. He's the one that wrote in about Brad earlier, offering us his
yes.
sister if we don't.
Did
we
he send
him.
Photos? Because
no,
don't read the email.
No, he didn't. But he says three things he's sick of hearing. The Pats will find an outside linebacker in free agency since they did not in the draft. First of all, there are no studs in free agency, and even if there were, there's absolutely no way to guarantee you'd get one.
Well, there are studs.
Even if you grossly overpaid someone else, could
outbid
you.
Depending on how you look at it. Like Tamba Ali.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's a franchise guy, right?
Right, right, right.
So if you consider that free agency, then there's a stud available in free agency.
Second thing he's sick of hearing, the Denver safety game. How many times do I have to hear what a genius BB is for that play? Give me a break. Anyone who knew football could see that play as a strong possibility.
Paul from Everett?
It has been done many times over the years.
Or Andy in Dartmouth.
Yes, BB's a genius, but not because of that play. Also, we got pretty lucky. If I remember, the punt flew over the returner's head. It did.
It was misplayed
he misplayed it.
By old friend, Delta O'Neill.
Well, actually, he was pre-friend
Delta right. O'Neill.
When he got here, the things that were flying over his head were touchdown passes.
Malcolm Floyd's.
And the third thing he's sick of hearing, Brad from the Eastern Shore.
Oh.
I thought
for sure there was going to be Andy's lame jokes or something in there.
I know you were making fun of me, but I'm with him on his two things that he's sick of hearing.
Even Brad?
The two things I said.
Yeah, Brad. Is
no,
one
there
was
no, there were three, things. And that was Brad was third.
The whole free agency, I don't know why after 12 years now or 11 years, whatever it's been, we're looking for DeMarcus Ware. I mean, look, that caliber player. We did it once.
Exactly.
Once or twice we've made a splash in free agency. If we do it again, great. I'd be all for it. I'd be very excited about it, but I'm not going to expect it. There's no reason to expect it.
Especially not this year.
Especially
there's no perfect candidate. There's no time to develop them. It's the perfect storm in the wrong direction for not doing it.
I'm not saying it can't happen because they did it with Colvin and they did it with Thomas. So they've obviously shown that they will do it. But to expect it to happen to me is unrealistic. I'll be as excited as anybody if they went out and said, you know what, Tamba Ali, that's our guy. We're gonna
I'd love it. Love it. I just don't see it.
I don't think that'll happen.
I love it.
And Andy's right. There really isn't that one guy that you identify and say, this is a guy we have to have. He's gonna change our defense.
Laughing a little bit reading Tyler and George's email. You'll see why in a second. He's talking about the sporting events he'd like to see. Goes without saying that I'd love to be in any seat of the three Super Bowls the Pats won, but I imagine being in Gillette Stadium for Game 16 of the 2007 season would have been awesome. Even knowing the perfect season would end the way it did, I imagine the energy in that stadium would have been incredible after completing a perfect regular season.
Would have been awful dark.
Would have been awful dark and awful quiet because the game wasn't played there, Tyler.
That's
Eric
Martin, you, not Paul and Andy.
I didn't say a word. Very rare for me. That was a great game.
But it was a great game.
That was,
it was on NFL Network.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that and every other network, if you recall.
Yeah, that's yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying?
Go F yourself.
Oh,
you didn't get that out of that?
That was such an ugly turn. Yeah.
Tyler continues, being from the Atlanta area, I would also choose either Game 6 of the 95 World Series or Game 7 of the 91 NLCS in 91.
Game 7 of the 91.
The hell's that? Sid Bream?
Yes. That would have been a great game to be at.
And Game 6 of the 95?
That's when the Braves beat the Indians. 1-0.
All right.
Tommy Glavin.
All right.
David Justice, home run.
What's the immigration
issue?
See,
that's the kind of thing. It sticks in my head, and it does me
absolutely
no good.
Well, it did you good on this discussion.
It's a waste of time.
What's the immigration issue in Georgia?
The governor recently signed...
They don't want anybody from Florida coming in.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Where are they coming from?
It is a good question. I don't
know.
Cuba?
They just hop through Florida on the way?
But they signed a tough immigration bill which allows law enforcement to threaten deportation for people who are found to be illegal immigrants or something along those lines.
Because Georgia has a high black population, right? I mean, are some of them like actually Africans?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Isn't there a heavy black community in Atlanta specifically?
Atlanta, it certainly is. I think so,
but I don't know in terms of.
But I don't.
Everybody's origin, I don't know.
No, that's just.
It does seem like it does seem like a weird state where that would happen. Right. You know, you're thinking Texas or
border
New
states.
Mexico. Yeah, border states. Florida, even.
Right, but Georgia's a little bit kind of a stepped in.
Right.
I don't know, just wondering. Yeah, maybe they end up there for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't mean to offend anyone. I just mean immigrants.
Do you think Cubans
we're just
might,
trying to entertain.
Cubans miss, like, Florida, and they end up going around, and they say, oh,
the piece of plywood keeps on floating right up into Georgia.
That's a long trip.
Is that offensive?
That's a long trip, though.
Or do they have, maybe, what do they grow there, peanuts?
Like, I was thinking Georgia? About playing the hat dance, and I was
maybe they hire some of those migrant Mexican workers to pick the peanuts or something?
Could be.
Peanuts are dug, though. They're underground, so you'd think a machine would do it. It's not like berries.
Stream of consciousness going on right now, Paul.
Next stop, NAACP.
I'm going to have to ask Andy Hart to come with us.
I'll have John McCain defend me. We have fires because of the Mexicans.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that? He blamed the fires on the Mexicans?
No.
You know the answer to stop the wildfires, since I've been told many of them are started by illegal aliens, is to have a stronger border. Despite the fact there's apparently
zero proof
that these fires are started by. You know, it makes sense. On some level, you could say, okay, they're sneaking across the border. They're hiding out, camping out. But apparently there's zero proof that the fires actually were started by immigrants. He just wants another border, you know. The answer to every question to him is stronger border.
Brent in Rhode Island replying to Chris Ferreira, who wrote in about the BlackBerry apps being back up and running. He says,
no, they're not.
BlackBerry
not so fast,
app is still
friend.
Down.
You ass clown.
Not so fast,
even
my friend.
Rhymes there. It's still down, you ass clown.
Yeah, well, the app is down and the show is
that's
over.
It?
Guys, it's 2 hours.
Let's do another hour.
2 hours.
Not today.
We got
Why?
Meetings.
That was a bad show.
Oh, I liked it.
We have meetings?
No, I'm just saying that's what Fred always says when we get to the end of a show.
Good, you're right.
I can go see if my laptop's up there, though.
Oh, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Why, has it been deployed?
And I might be able to get my iPhone glass fixed.
Oh, they're going to fix that?
Yeah, they're just going to put new glass on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, it's apparently very common. Misha Rowe, our friend on Twitter.
Yeah, she promised she was going to call in the other day and didn't.
She did.
I gave her a lot of crap today.
She has broken two of these already. She hasn't had it for that long, which tells me they're breakable.
Yeah, well... But in your case, it was negligence.
No, I don't think it was.
I think it was
an accident.
Okay.
Yeah, I think an accident is the right word.
You told me you were blaming it on your wife.
Well, yeah.
Yesterday.
She told me to take the stroller. But it was still an accident. Had I taken the good stroller with the zippered pouch and the tremendous suspension, wouldn't have had this problem.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I had the bumpy ride with no strap.
If you thought these past 2 hours were great, wait till Tuesday when it's just me and Paul. We'll see you then.
Oh, terrible show.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.